shut the fuck up. We are going to pay a bunch of casters nothing, and then we're going to get Twitter to vote on the best fucking caster pair, and then we're going to let them cast a blower bracket game in the VCT next year. What do you think about that?
They didn't go into Berlin thinking, hey, we are definitely keeping this exact roster, and come out going, we need to kick this.
Poor Brax, a motherfucker being a neck brace, man, with this whiplash from being in and out of this team.
There were no female tournaments. We were not signed. We still played in these tournaments, and it helped us so much. You don't have to be a signed team to be like, all right, now we're ready to take on these tournaments.
By their grizzled manes out of the cave, taught them how to make fire and catch fish and build brick and mortar buildings, and here we are. You have the floor to gloat if you'd like. I know for a fact it won't feel as good this far out, but hey, give it your best shot.
Oh, you underestimate me. It still feels amazing. My favorite takeaway of the entire Masters event was the fact that, you know, I love the Brand boys. We were really sad they weren't there, but it was fucking comical after the big show and dance fans put on saying, they're going to make it out of groups. They're going to do it. I believe in them 100%. Didn't even make it into the groups. It's a little bit
didn't
shady.
Didn't even make the new event.
It was great, man. I mean, obviously being at Masters, seeing all the Gambit guys go absolutely ham when they won, like they were so excited. You could tell just passing by them, chatting to them in the hallway. Some of them came into the green room. Redgar is probably the nicest dude I've ever met in my life. So I was super happy to see them succeed, obviously, as well, because, you know, kind of predicted them. You know, people like to make fun of my predictions. Mm-hmm. You fuckers in particular like to make fun of my predictions. And well, here we are. Victory is finally
Mitch
mine.
Ben, I know you didn't watch the show last week and the reruns because I know you're super happy you put that clip in. You try to rub it in my fucking face. Exactly. All good. By the way, I'm jealous. I didn't get mine yet. But I don't know if you remember, Mitch, you also posted a tweet for predictions in playoffs. And if I remember correctly, you had a Gambit 1-2 against Vision Strikers. And here you are in your fucking mighty high horse. Yeah, I knew Gambit was going to take it. I predict him coming out of group. Hey. Oh, you guys are fucking
Vance is doing his homework. Obviously, watch VODs, but he...
Oh, man, I look at the social media stuff now, too.
Let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, Vision Strikers, estimating them in pretty high regards is, I mean, fairly reasonable. I was willing to come in and throw a lot of heat, a lot of weight behind Vision Strikers. Coming into the tournament, I said Gambit were going to win the whole thing, but I was like, you know what? What I'm seeing from
just
DS,
in case,
maybe they can trip them up. Maybe... they can surprise him. I was wrong there. Yeah, no, not going to give as much love away in the future. I've been hurt now. But look, my prediction for winner was Gambit, technically. So fuck y'all.
Okay, whatever. Whatever. I'll give it to you.
For me,
it's just
a little bit of Stockholm Syndrome, you know? Like, Mitch still flinches when someone grabs a ladle when thinking about EU, you know? He kind of knows where that's going. All right, listen, guys. Big preamble. We do have something really special waiting in the wings, so let's move on with the show here. What are we discussing? Ton of stuff. Obviously, even the Masters building is done. Game changes has kicked off in NA. And, of course, is happening in EU as well. We're going to drill down a little bit more on what we've seen so far in North America. We had a pretty large Swiss bracket. And then we sort of moved into play-in. So a lot to talk about. We're going to have Mel on the show to help us discuss that. We've also had some patch notes recently. Don't know to what degree they got to be discussed last week. But a few architectural changes. And, of course, some agent balance things, which would be interesting. Fuck this timer. Why are we still doing this? And then after that, we're going to talk about some roster changes because I think it's going to be pretty insane. George Geddes and, you know, Aaron Brown have definitely implied that there's going to be Aaron Spake. There's going to be a lot going on in the offseason. So stick around for that. Tons of stuff to talk about in the show. Let's not drag this out any longer. Let's start talking about game changes here. So where'd you fucking... did his hair disappear?
Which one of those was your favorite?
My hair?
Yeah.
And we want to look at this too?
Why.
Oh, shit.
So I had my wife really wanted me to do like the Asian Korean K-pop haircut. So I decided to try it out. And I kind of like it. So I'm doing this like, you know how Veli, he puts the waves on. So he puts his do-rag. So I put the hat. So this stays down. And then I'll put some product in the middle, give a little bit of volume. And then I could sing on the next BTS show.
Nice. All right. You look like an options trader, but that's cool. I kind of dig that. look like some kind of quant who doesn't talk to anyone in his class and like his Harvard financial engineering course. I'm cool with that.
I was gonna say you look lovely, Vance. I like the
Silicon Valley denizen, just making tons of money out of making an app for people to connect with other dog owners. Yeah. I like it.
Anyways,
yeah, let's move on. Let's talk about game changes. Without further ado, very special guest, of course, member of C9, Wyatt. We've had her on the show before. It's great to have her back once more. Mel, welcome to this fucking clown fiesta. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I think I'm going to fit right in, honestly.
Hell yeah.
Good to hear it. Now, I obviously, you know, your squad is competing a ton outside of game changes, but obviously when something like this comes up, you know, we know we can expect to see you guys involved. The format is interesting. I want to start with that, right? Because we have a large, like, Swiss bracket. It looks like you only had to play 3 games because you sort of, you won them all. I mean, this is just, okay. Everyone's 0-0. But, okay, so it shows the rankings. This is before play-ins, I want to say, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we can talk about the Swiss stage briefly. Obviously, Mel, not a lot of this stuff was, like, streamed. But how do you feel about the format so far after the play-ins now?
I personally really enjoy the format. My only experience with Swiss, like, I don't think I've played in a Swiss format in Valorant yet. I've watched Swiss formats in CS and like the majors, and I really enjoyed watching it as like a viewer. So, I mean, if we had more streams, I could speak on that, but I can't. But in terms of like competing in it, I think it's really good. It gives a lot of like the teams a more opportunity to play more games. I feel like you also have a less chance of like being accidented. I guess if you're like a better team, you have less chance of getting upset. You'll probably make it through if you're good enough, right? You get like 5 chances essentially. So I think it's really good.
Actually, just to give a bit of a background of the Swiss format here, Mel, because of course it's 32 teams. All you have to do is win 3 to make it forward. But for the new people that are watching Valorant now and never encountered the Swiss format, how are the teams chosen? Like after you beat the first team, do you get to choose like one of the teams that lost, or how does that work exactly?
I think you just face other people in your record, and it's like kind of seeded in a sense. Like we were number one seeding in the Swiss format, and then it wouldn't be possible for us to go against, like, let's say Shopify Rebellion's also 1-0. We wouldn't have been able to go against them because we were both all like pretty seeded pretty highly. And I think that's how it generally worked. It followed like some sort of seeding system, at least on like the bare minimum.
So then you'd play another team that also went 1-0, but maybe lower in the seedings, so that we see if you're 2-0 and then 3-0, and then whoever that made it 3 overall, I think, had 16 teams that moved over to the play-ins.
Exactly.
In fairness, though, you go up against the 1-0 team and you go up against the 2-0 team. So you did go up against Version X and you went up against Nothing to Lose here in that Swiss stage, which even, you know, maybe less frequent viewers of Game Changers are probably familiar with them. How do you feel about the scene, right? I think we've checked in with you like a couple times, I think, you know, since the very first Ignition series, right? And now here we are at Game Changers, I think 3 it might be. How do you feel like the scene has leveled up overall as you've had the sort of ability to sit and watch other teams develop while you continue to grow as well?
Mm-hmm. I will first mention that I think this qualifier had like a plat 1, not recommendation, sorry, like a minimum rank requirement. Pressure. Was plat 1, And I don't think we had that before. And still, regardless, there's like 32 teams that participated and signed up. That was like the max cap, and it filled up like all 32. So just bare minimum, flat one, like already still a full qualifier. I thought that was really cool to see. Number 2, I would say the gap between like the other, like the top signed female teams and like the unsigned is definitely getting smaller. Like the unsigned teams are catching up like super fast, and these puck teams, like, a lot of these girls are already like Immortal and Radiant. This is not just like, oh, you know, these girls are like, they're just plat. They're playing like, no, like the unsigned teams are capable teams. Absolutely. And they're definitely catching up with the signed teams for sure. The gap is getting smaller.
Mm. Are we still going with the same type of like recommendation as well for these teams? Because when I looked at the Game Changers of the weekend, at least for those that were streamed on that Sunday, we had a lot of these, you know, newer rosters that were just formed maybe about 3 weeks ago and still did very, very well. But I remember when we had you in past episodes here, Mel, you were mentioning that, you know, you got to get your reps in, play those monthlies, play the Renegades tournaments, or if that comes back, or the Pittsburgh Knights or something like that. Do you still think that this is something that's lacking, at least from some of these women's teams that are trying to get a little bit more experience?
I think there's been an increase in female teams playing in like the VCS and like the Knights and the NSGs. Not as much as I would like to see. At the moment, it seems to only be like the signed teams. I know TSM, Shopify Rebellion, and occasionally CLG Red are playing these tournaments. I think I've seen nothing to lose in a few. But I think the big point that I want to make is that even if you're unsigned, you still should be participating in these tournaments, because at the end of the day, like when my team, when FTW Showdown and everything before that, there were no female tournaments. We were not signed. We still played in these tournaments, and it helped us so much. You don't have to be a signed team to be like, all right, now we're ready to take on these tournaments. No, you can be any level of team, and playing in these other tournaments will help you tenfold. It does not matter.
So I think we get to a point now that we're playing in these, as Uber was mentioning before, you had to play Version X and Nothing to Lose in the round robins.
Yeah,
in the Swiss format. So how did that go with, well, I mean, I guess it went pretty well for you guys too when you were looking at the matchup here against Version X, because, you know, it was pretty exciting for that team. I think it was Just Breathe here that got signed at this point, with Nanny, formerly, I think, of CLG, if I'm not mistaken, or even Naomi. How did that pan out in this matchup for you guys here? I guess it was a 16-3 on split here.
Definitely lost more rounds than I wanted us to on the first map. I go into this qualifier and, like, I don't want to lose more than three, generally speaking. I don't want people to think they can even have a chance. Because what ends up happening is, like, they get six rounds on split, and then all of a sudden, and then we 13-1 Haven. All of a sudden, everyone just starts banning Haven against us instantly. And then all of a sudden, everyone starts picking split, like thinking, you know, this is the map we're going to get Cloud9 White on. This is it right here. So it's on split because they lost six rounds as opposed to losing three rounds normally. And it's just like, my God, people think that's like the map they're going to get us on. But generally, yeah, I lost a little too many rounds there, but I think we made it up for it with the 13-0.
Yeah. Pretty clean way through, and then the matchup against Nothing to Lose was again no more than sort of three rounds lost there. So, you know, checking your own temperature as a team now, like how going through the Swiss here with, you know, two pretty strong victories against teams with like a little bit of hype behind them, I guess. Even N2L is like, I think that team played at LAN, at least four of them did recently, like some kind of LAN. So
I think I mean, with KP, right? It was
yeah.
I know who you're talking about,
but this is pretty crazy for you this series. So you know, you're feeling pretty confident, I suppose, going through the Swiss bracket here. But, you know, you talk about not wanting to lose too many rounds. Are you satisfied with the two maps against N2L, just in terms of individual play, maybe, or how you guys as a team went?
I went pretty well. Ideally, we want to, like, 15-0, but sometimes you lose a pistol, and then you lose the round after. So, oh, well, what can you do? You'll lose, like, a random gun round where you, like, make a small mistake and they capitalize.
I am, and moving forward, I think I want to get over to like just game changers in general, because now we actually have the announcements of like game changers in Brazil that actually happened at the same time, if I'm not mistaken. Then we have Europe now that's starting this week, if not today. Where do you see the scene going now for game changers? Do you think it's going to be a very similar circuit to like the main VCT circuit going into the next year to see like, you know, like an ESWC Copenhagen Games type of like tournament for women's now? In 2022, where would you like for it to go to?
I would like there to be at least like one like LAN tournament, maybe like one international, but at the same time I don't want it to be too much like interference with the main circuit, because what had happened this year with us was that it was just so unfortunate because the timing of VCT Game Changers both times was so close to the VCT main circuit that it actually messed up with our practice, because we would, like I said this before in the previous Game Changers, I don't think it'll apply this much to this Game Changers, obviously, because there's no VCT main circuit for a while now. But we developed some pretty bad habits, and it definitely affected us going into the main circuit in a bad way. Because obviously, since we were kind of like rolling and we were kind of like not getting punished for certain things that we would normally get punished for. Yeah, exactly.
I think you mentioned at some point that like you were less vigilant about like getting flanked and stuff like that. You felt like that, like your opponents
like literally lurking. Yeah, exactly. Lurking was the thing that really hurt us afterwards. But yeah, just I would like to see that, but at the same time I don't want to see it, you know, conflict too much with the scheduling, because we would play Game Changers then like 3 days after, all right, you're in the main circuit, like good luck, have fun. I just didn't like that personally, but it would be so cool to play against like Gamelanders Purple. I'm friends with all the girls in Gamelanders Purple. I love the Brazilians, they are amazing, they're so passionate, they're just so fun to talk to as well. I'm in all their streams. I need to catch up with EU though, because I have no idea what's going on over there.
Actually, there is some hype behind that too, by the way, with Gamelanders Purple, because I think when I was doing the co-streams and all that too, people in the chat were also mentioning, like, I think that they think that Gamelanders Purple is going to be the team that could probably match up against you at the international stage. Me personally, I'm still skeptical, because I'm just thinking about the main circuit right now, where, you know, Brazil had all the hype with Gamelanders, with Vikings and all, and it fell kind of short in the past two Masters, right? So how does it come for you? I mean, you say that you know and you're friends with them. What's that play style like? Do you think that they're close to your skill level?
Oh, 100%. I think mechanically they could destroy like any team, like any female team in this region, just by pure mechanics. They're like on a whole other level. I watched a couple of their games, and I follow them on their streams. They're
super fun. Nice.
And yeah, no, mechanically speaking, they are insanely good. And then when you go into the strats, I haven't seen anything too crazy. They run pretty standard stuff to what we're doing, which means they're pretty on meta, to be honest. And that's a good thing to see. So I think if we were to ever match up with them, it would be close games. I think it would be actually like pretty fun, challenging, close games. But I think, I don't know what the top team in EMEA is. Is it Guild? Or I know the Exet girls from CS switched over recently.
Yeah.
There's a Vodafone Giants team, right? They just formed with some known names as well. I don't know what you know about that, Mitch.
The Vodafone team, they're obviously untested now, so I'd like to see them a little bit later on. But I mean, Tiny was around since day one, playing in the Godsent roster back in beta. Yeah. So they've got some experience there. I'm curious, Mel. I don't know if you've seen an EMEA. They're running a special edition of it as the first one. It's like I think they're calling it All In, and they're co-ed teams, so three women and then two. It doesn't matter about genders for the latter. I'm curious as to whether you think that's a better, like on paper before we actually see it trialed and all that sort of stuff. Is that something you'd like to see in North America to sort of mix in genders a bit more? Or do you think that having it exclusively women is a better call?
That's a really good question. You say that's for this Game Changers, for the EMEA Game Changers?
Yeah. So you can have like two players as long as they're unsigned. So they can't be a streamer. Even for another team, as long as they're completely unsigned.
For the kickoff here, or do you know if that's like a long-term plan?
All I know is that they want to do future Game Changers in the NBA. I don't know if they want to do it with that. I think this is very much a trial, and they'll probably get feedback from the players and that sort of stuff on whether they preferred that rule set or whether they would want it as exclusively female. And I'm not sure whether it's being run like that because of concerns over numbers, or because we have a decent amount of female teams, so I don't think that would really be the problem. But I thought it was interesting, because to me at least, it kind of merges, it blurs the lines a little bit between the VCT, like the normal tournaments that are available for everybody, and then it allows potentially for just more mixing of those two pools, which I thought was at least an interesting idea.
On my initial impression, I actually like love the idea. I think that's really dope and really cool. I'm just trying to think if maybe it could take away from like highlighting like the female talent, because I know that's what Game Changers is supposed to be, is just like showcasing like female and marginalized genders, like talent and skill, and just like, you know, just showing them to like the whole world like what these people can do and giving them a platform. That's my only concern. But on my face value, I think that's really cool, because like you said, it like the end goal is to integrate at the end of the day, not to separate. We want to have both people or all genders competing together. But I need to think about that. I need to see it as well and in practice. That sounds really cool at the same time.
I may be off on this though, because when I read the stuff about the Game Changers too, towards like the EMEA, the marginalized genders were excluded, if I'm not mistaken, right? But I think this is more because of like you know religion issues that, you know, for some countries, communities, or whatnot. I felt like I read something too.
The issue would be that I think there's a concern for safety of individuals that might in theory out themselves to their governments by participating and disclosing their sort of
correct
gender identity.
I'm pretty sure that's what I read. Yeah,
because obviously EMEA includes Middle East,
exactly.
You know,
Africa, exactly.
Countries prehistoric in their social customs. So, all right, let's. I want to ask one. Here you go. I mean, you kind of mentioned this, Mel, but has there been a discussion about like whether it's reasonable to sort of be able to split between sort of VCT and Game Changers? You know, is it on the table that you guys might just have to end up focusing on VCT if the schedule next year starts to billow out too much? I assume that there's a preference there already, right?
I may have spoken on this when the last Game Changers happened. I don't remember if it was here, but there was a genuine discussion that was had between our staff, like our coaches and the team, about whether we wanted to play in Game Changers at that time, because it was so close to VCT main circuit. Like we had an actual conversation about like, do we really want to play in this? Because this might really affect our chances in the main circuit. And just because of the scheduling, it just was not ideal for us whatsoever. But obviously, you know, we're gauging the skill level of like the other teams. And as long as we see that, like, you know, the other teams are like catching up, and they absolutely are, like, the, I think the competition, this Game Changers, is probably the highest it's ever been. Mm-hmm. And given that, you know, making it like a worthwhile rep for us, then I think we do 100% see value still playing. But if it were to come across where it's like, okay, it's really not making sense for us, you know, this doesn't really feel like a good rep, then it may happen in the future. But I don't see it, considering how many orgs are investing and how much talent is being cultivated. I don't see it happening in the future. I think that might have just been like a one-off discussion the previous Game Changer.
It's, you know, your team specifically, as leaders and trailblazers in the scene, it's complicated, because on one hand you have an implied responsibility to try and lead the scene and be examples in the scene, but also you need to benefit from the ability of the other player teams in the scene, right? You need to, so on one half you're cultivating, on the other half you also want to reap a reward in terms of your team's ability to sort of develop and grow and make sure it's worth your time.
I would say too, just to add, it's not just like the other teams, it's also thinking about ourselves, because usually all of our games are broadcasted, and think about that, like, okay, we're going into the main circuit now, every team in the main circuit can just watch our VODs from 3 days ago and see exactly what we do on every map. Just thinking about it for ourselves, not even just in, you know, comparison to other teams, that's just it's a bit of annoying, you know, come on, like, all right, we're going against like random team and they can just look at our VODs and be like, oh, so they do this and this and this and this, and it would just be really easy to anti-strat at that point.
And
people wonder why teams that are better just mess around and goof off. You know what I mean? It's even a matter of disrespect, trying to protect the crown jewels when it comes to the, you know, the strats and stuff. Hey, we just saw recently Annie had surgery. Do you know if there's like a situation where you'll need to find a substitute for her going forward in Game Changers, or are you expecting her to be able to play?
We have contacted an emergency sub. I don't want to give too many details, but also for I don't want to reveal what surgery is for, in case Annie wants to do that for herself. But if she isn't feeling up to it, we do have an emergency sub. I'm just not sure if I'm allowed to say it. I think I might need Dream's call on that one.
That's fine. That's
keep
fine.
It on the low low. We're good with that. We're good with that. We're okay with that too. So actually, even speaking about that, we're looking at the brackets, right? We're getting into the Game Changers playoffs throughout this weekend. I don't think the brackets have been announced in terms of who you're playing first, but at least in the eight teams that move forward, any surprises going into the top eight here that qualified here, Mel?
I think it would definitely be surprising that an unsigned team made it through to like anybody, but if you actually like watch the games, I think it would be a lot easier to understand, like, okay, you know, it makes perfect sense why Polaris is going through. I will say that it is unfortunate that Complexity didn't make it through, but you know, they're like a new team, a newly site team, they just need more some time to develop, I think. But overall, not too surprised. I know Enswell got signed recently, they just haven't had an announcement. Hoping to see that announcement before Game Changers officially starts, but nothing too surprising. I think it was surprising to see that COG normally makes a lower bracket run from what we've seen, but it looked a lot more, I guess, scary this time around. I didn't expect them to make it through, to be honest, but in COG fashion, they ended up coming from the lower bracket anyway, so no worries there.
On at least the matches that I've watched, I've only watched one match of Polaris, though. I'm definitely impressed with, you know, it was still one-sided for you guys in terms of the victories, but I still think that Cat Triggered as the Jet looked pretty good. So it could be a very scary team that could definitely be able to maybe do a couple of upset maps, upset series going into the brackets. So I'm going to be rooting for this team, because they're going to be the only unsigned team. It's almost like when I was thinking about Manella Fogs going into the last VCTs. So to give the opportunities for these teams, for these women teams to get signed or to continue to have a circuit that supports them is actually really good. I think this team is thriving. Every single time we talk about like more teams coming in, more pugs coming in at the same time, it's just nice that it's getting more and more traction.
Did you guys see what happened with one of their players on Twitter, however?
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
Explain it to me, yeah.
Give me a TLDR.
TLDR, one of the members on Polaris, Slays. Well, this was, for the record, this was like a private matter on Discord, exactly, apparently. Yeah, even I didn't know it was private, to be honest. I mean, I just assumed, because like people, a lot of girls came into my stream, I was streaming at the time, they were like, did you hear the news? Check Twitter, check your Discord. I DM'd you. I sent you screenshots. They got me everything. I'm like, damn, all right. Five people came into my stream telling me to check this out. I go and check it out. And I'm like, wow. Yeah. I'm being very subtle on stream. Very, very subtle. But and then I see KP tweet about it. I'm like, all right, it's all in now. Everyone can talk about it.
And this happened. Didn't this happen in the past? Was it KP tweeting about another situation where like a player on one of these teams was either like not who that they professed to be, or there was like a account sharing situation? I seem to recall that happening in a prior Game Changers event as well.
I think maybe you might be thinking of someone was like talking to their coach or something. I think someone was whispering their coach, because I remember their name was like super weird. It was like,
I don't think I can say it here.
Yeah.
We're not trying to fill the room here. I mean, this is not the first time that I think that this kind of stuff has come up.
Sort of drama, so, yeah.
Yeah.
To make it clear, at least it wasn't like any type of like cheating or anything like that with Slays. So like anything, because I know that she's been, you know, attacked and she's got a lot of fucking heat that dropped into like her socials and shit like that. And I don't think it's right that that the community did her that way. So I think we should take a step back at least. We know exactly that it's not for cheating. So let's stop being like fucking idiots about this type of shit for those that are being fucking mean about it. So
did she not post the email that she received from Riot regarding the ruling on her?
She said, it looked like a scam email too. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. There was like no screen, no attachments, no like Riot official. It was just like, hello, I hope you're having a good day. You're getting banned for 3 months for boosting or something. I was like, dude, if I got that in my email, I would have laughed. Like, I'm not even lying.
Yeah.
At the other end, Mitch, I was like,
I guess someone's not going to do the email equivalent of busting down your door and be like, all right, get the fuck out. Just weird the way that they worded it. Yeah. I mean,
I just got to say that at least, though, to actually say where maybe Slays maybe stepped over the line is actually posting that email, I think. If there was a way to appeal that more behind the doors instead. But I'm assuming because everything was already public in that sense, that was...
She felt the need to defend herself.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you would only post that if you are certain you didn't do it, right?
Exactly, that too. Right? But take the name away. Take the name away. Don't put the right name in there.
Yeah, like, with their emails.
Incredible story. I remember an email got leaked to Richard Lewis once where it was a writer that was talking about, I think it was like who was going to be casting Worlds or something like that. And I know this because, well, I know the person that leaked it because the person that leaked it revealed their identity because the email said who else it was addressed to. It was like you and then like this person, and people just did a process of elimination and found out that a very prominent League of Legends caster had leaked this email to Richard Lewis where it was basically like Riot saying that they weren't wanting to use them or whatever. Like all the names shown, like you can't, listen, if someone generally comes to you and like shit talks you in the DMs, unless it's like really bad, it's probably better to like avoid including names because people do this right on social media. Like try not to dox people. I'm showing these names. It also goes really bad for you. It looks really bad on you, I think, if you reveal that. You know, so
yeah,
it's just a suggestion. That's all I'm saying.
Shout out to Alexis, by the way. She says we all have matching mics. That makes me also remember that back then when we actually had Mel on our show, I think you were still using like a Yeti snowball or something, no?
Yeah, no, I was. It was awful.
Is this the stream of glow up? Is that what we're
witnessing? A little bit of a glow up.
Do we do podcasts here? Do we watch VODs and podcasts?
It's a fucking show, mate. It's not a podcast because some poor boss is getting paid to do the transitions in the background for us.
Is this a podcast?
So sorry, Daniel. And we have a producer, someone who's like, guys, can you please talk about Valorant now? Like every 5 minutes.
Is this a podcast?
It's a professional ranting show. Okay?
There you go. That's why you're the host. So that's why I was done after 69.
I mean, listen, your wife's still in Vietnam. I get it. Let's talk about playoffs now. So we don't know what the seeding is for playoffs going in here. I mean, I'd love to know about, like, you know, you've gone out, like, you've traded blows with, like, Shopify, with Dignitas, with CLG Red a bunch of times here. Mm-hmm. What are the matchups to look out for, or at least from your perspective, what are the teams that you're most wary of now coming into, like, a bracket where you don't even know what you're going to get seeded, who you might go up against?
I think you can actually work out the bracket just off of the... off the seating. I think some people in my chat were telling me, oh yeah, I don't even need to see the bracket because I already worked it out on my own. But so I'm pretty sure I'm fine to say it. I think we play... Actually, let me see if I can get Dream's confirmation in chat if I can say it. But before then, be interesting. Honestly, It'd be interesting to play Dig. I don't think we've played Dig since like FTW Showdown or maybe the first Game Changers. It's been a long time since we've matched against them. So I really do want to play them again because I remember playing against them. I think I have a video file. I saw it the other day. I have a video file of us like winning against Dig the first time. And I was like, let's go. It was like a victory video. I was like, this is the only victory video I have. I always forget the shadow play whenever we win. And I was like, okay, I love that. I really hope to play them again. But other than that, looking forward to playing Shopify and TSM. They're like the only other teams that female teams that play in the like normal tournaments, so
yeah,
it'd be really cool to finally play them because we're getting matched against them in the normal tournaments just out of luck, so it'd be cool to play them for sure.
Now there's a rivalry here with TSM and Dignitas, right? Because I saw Stephanie tweet about it, I think after there's like it was revenge, right?
Yep.
Fill me in on this rivalry because it's not one I'm like super familiar with yet.
So it's funny because in the they've played each other like twice already. And they might play each other again in the bracket. But the first time, it went 2-0 in the favor of TSM FTX. As far as I'm aware, TSM FTX is Bitcoin, Ethereum, currency exchange, Latino, and Dignitas. Sorry, I can't. Every time I say their name, I just get like a whole like list of like tags, like a YouTube tags. You know what I mean? I can't. It's just so funny to me.
You didn't understand what made a good tag. So you thought pulling your name, your clan name, XX at sniper.
No, really.
XX would be the way to go. Yeah.
But yeah, they blew them out of the water. They like 13-0 them, and the other map was not close either. And it seemed like there was a very big gap between TSM and Dig, just watching the VODs back.
Yeah.
But the second time they come back with a vengeance, Dignitas loses the first map, and then they proceeded like 13-3-13 to the last two. And there was some beef on Twitter. I don't know if you have the tweets, but a lot of the Dignitas members were tweeting like GGEZ, you know what I mean? I like to see it.
I love it.
Personally. But there was a little cause of drama there. And I heard a rumor through the Vine that there was some arguing between the two teams, like during the match, while they were like loading in, like before, like in the server selection screen or something. Yeah, in the lobby. That's what I heard as well. So I was like, geez.
Just competitive nature. But you know what? Have you had a chance to actually scrim or practice against the TSM women team? Because I wanted to know your thoughts of how TSM looked now versus when they actually had a slightly different roster in the last Game Changers, right? Because I did mention it before. Was it Naomi, I think, that was gone or something like that they had?
Zoe. They had Zoe.
Zoe, that's it. Sorry, yeah, Zoe, yeah.
I remember on Polaris now.
Yeah, that's it. So how does TSM look like right now with Zoe being out of the roster?
I think it's important to highlight their new member, Dodo Nut. And in case you guys didn't know, she used to compete in Southeast Asia. I think she just moved to the US like 4 months ago or something like that. She's super talented. She actually played on a co-ed team. She competed in VCT over in Southeast Asia, and they actually did pretty well. The name of the team is leaving me. But if you look her up on VLR, you'll see her previous team standings. And I thought that was really cool. She's super young. I think she's like 16. She played on a co-ed team, and then she moved here. Now she's playing on TSM. I think they're genuinely, they find a really good pickup in her. But from watching the VODs, they look about the same performance-wise, to be honest.
Cool.
So interesting to play them. But after I don't know if it says more about Dig or more about TSM with their matchup against Dig. Maybe I think more so Dig because of their mental fortitude, to be honest, to come back from one in their minds, we've been 13-0 by this team. Number two, they just won first map. And then proceeding to demolish them on two maps, it probably says more about Dig than it says about TSM, honestly. I can't say it till I see them again.
So, yeah, this is the matchup here, TSM. I mean, good start for Dota Knight, I guess. Okay, so picking up a duelist player. Nice. Oh, actually, you know, quickly, tell us about this nasty Viper game, Mel, you had on Bind. I think that was against, was that against Polaris, I think, in the second map?
Yeah, it was the Wonder Machines.
Yeah, 358 ACS.
Little Nats cosplay, you know?
Oh, yeah.
No, I love playing Bind. It's probably one of my favorite maps to play. Just not in terms of actually playing the map, sorry, but in terms of like the agent I get to play. I love playing Viper. Viper is a super fun agent. You get to play such a fucking rat. Oh, I don't know. I can curse, right? Okay, I'm just making sure. My bad. But awesome. No, I just have a lot more options to be like aggressive. I have a lot of more control over like the lurk timings that I have and stuff like that, and like where I want to push. And I don't know, she's a very impressive agent on that map, you know, because if you look at my Icebox game right before I bought a frag 9/11, we still won, so I mean, not a big deal. But yeah, I feel like there's a huge difference in how I get to play as Killjoy versus how I can play on Viper. Mm-hmm. So definitely more my style, I feel like, on Bind.
Absolutely. Now, before we wrap here to talking about game changers, obviously, probably Van's good chance to talk about some of the more higher profile pickups. So version X, obviously, was version one's pickup. And obviously, Complexity have now gotten involved. So Mel was mentioning there's only like, what, one unsigned team now in the bracket as it stands. So let's get some thoughts here, because I think, you know, GX3, they failed to qualify here, but it is early days for this roster. I don't think anyone's, you know, singing any doomsday songs about it. And obviously version one take a team here as well. Now version X, they end up dropping out, right? They lose to Dingtas and nothing to lose. So the competition's getting stiff already. My God. You know, there's only one unsigned team left. Like, a lot of these teams that are getting signed are struggling. 24, I don't know. Did anyone expect 24 Haven to come out of the woodwork? That looked kind of strong.
Not at all. Even I was cheering for 21 Haven at some point too, because one of the players being Chloe Hime, right? She hangs out a lot in like Mel's stream, my stream, Mimi's stream, and is like the social media manager, if I'm not mistaken, of Nbox. And to see her being able to play with like a pickup and a pug and make it that far to almost qualifying it. I think it went to like three maps too into that qualifying series against Polaris. So I was really, really happy for 24 Haven.
Yeah, three maps and three series the whole day. So three BO3s and it's the last map of the day. Like, geez.
Yeah. The qualifier games were actually pretty damn hot going into, I think, even the last stream games that we're looking at to see who was going to qualify for it with the N2L matchup. I think overall it's been quite cool. It's pretty sad for Complexity, but I think Complexity is still at a part where they're at a four-woman roster looking for their fifth, still trying to trial some people through to be able to get a full roster to play. So I think for Alice Liu, the captain of the team, who's been a long-standing member of GX3, understands, and she's telling it to her team too, that this is going to be a long building process, and she's trying to leave something behind for the future players too in that team, because, you know, she's my age, pretty close. So her
right, I mean, she
career,
was a 1.6 player, if I recall, right?
Eight-time ESWC. I think. Yeah, eight-time ESWC women's champion in 1.6. So she's got some medals, man. She's got some recognition, and she deserves that too, to be the captain of GX3, of course. And we'll see what's going to happen with the team after, for sure.
I wanted to mention, sorry, random. I saw the bracket, and I saw the team CCA. My team, they call them Kaka, because I don't know. When I see that, it just comes off as Kaka. But not like the Spanish word or anything. Like, literally, I just see the pronunciation as Kaka.
Yeah.
It's just, I wanted to mention that they are promising as well. Obviously, they didn't qualify, but I wanted to say that I don't think it was necessarily on stream. One of the players was streaming it because they're a Puck team, but they actually managed a 13-1 CLG on Ascent in their first BO3 versus CLG Red. And I was like, what?
Not
yeah,
bad.
I can't even. The not team bad. Was CLG Red, but y'all got the juice. Like, what y'all got the secret formula? Like, I saw that and I was like, damn. That instantly set the tone for the rest of the qualifier for me. Like, they are catching up. Unsigned teams. They have a lot of potential.
I had the same words too, because they actually streamed the CC Angels versus +22 in that stream for Sunday, and people in the chat were saying like they're actually a Puck team too. Mostly boomers as well, having like real-time jobs and playing Valorant and still being able to put up a good fight. So really nice. After seeing like a 13-3 going on against +22, where they had, I think, Alex Elite that I've pucked with before, I was really impressed about CC Angels too, or Kaka, according to Mel.
So we have eight teams in a double elimination bracket now. So that's a lot of games. This is honestly, when you look at the format of this tournament, this is more fleshed out than like a VCT.
It really is.
You know, it's a lot. Is this too many games, Mel? How do you feel about just how gigantic these it's Swiss, then what? Double elimination play-in, then double elimination actual main event. What are your thoughts about that?
I personally enjoy it. It's super fun getting to play so many games, and I mean, for us, if we win, we're probably, it's not going to be, I'm gonna close my mouth. I don't want to say anything. But
I just want to make it clear, Dream did leak that you're playing against N2L in the upper bracket, so he did
big
say
leaks.
That
so, big yeah. leaks. So yeah, if you can work that out, you probably work out the rest game. Of the bracket, but it'll be fun to rematch against them again, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. I mean, we're looking forward to it. I can't wait to see it. It's September 30th. So that's 2 days' time, ladies and gentlemen. That's when the playoff bracket is going to be kicking off, Mel. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for your time and good luck, of course, in that upper bracket.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for coming.
Pleasure. Thank you for being here. All right. I mean, yeah, that's sick. I was glad. You know, I didn't actually watch the official stream. I tuned in advance channel just to see what was going on. And yeah, it looked like they were a really good game. So I think that the tough part, Vans, is that, I mean, you know, don't know what broadcast budget is like, but there were so many games that just didn't go streamed, right?
Yeah.
Which maybe is like tough for teams like Cloud9 White, for example, who, you know, you're probably going to have the broadcast team follow the centerpiece teams like them, but they're like, well, everyone gets to fucking see us play. They get footage on us, where like these other teams maybe don't. So
that's sorry to cut you. That's why I was pretty happy too in the end, in retrospect, because at first when I looked at the round of 16, I was like, oh, there's potentially Cloud9 White versus CLG Red in the quarter uppers to see who's going to qualify. I was like, I really want to watch that game, but it didn't get streamed. We went down to like another CCA matchup or like an N2L matchup, which actually in the end is quite good, because now you're giving chances for example, the unsigned teams to get a little bit more light, and at the same time to give a break for teams like Cloud9 to not get anti-strat so much when they're playing these games. So there's some positives and some negatives. I still think that maybe we could have done the NSG style to have a couple of more observers.
No,
to have, like,
you know what you have to do, Vance? Shut the fuck up. We are going to pay a bunch of casters nothing, and then we're going to get Twitter to vote on the best fucking caster pair, and then we're going to let them cast a blower bracket game in the VCT next year. What do you think about that?
That's old news. That's old news. We've evolved from them. We've evolved from them here, Uber.
No, I've had to drag people kicking and screaming from the fucking Cretaceous period by their fucking grizzled manes out of the cave, taught them how to fucking make fire and catch fish and build brick and mortar buildings, and here we are.
We've evolved, saying, thanks to you. You were the fire.
No, well, it's not. But I will say, obviously, shout out to Zombie Grub in the chat. Said that she was surprised by the pay. That's good. You know what? I'm really glad that there's a precedent being set for robust remuneration of your very experienced services. So that's great. I don't think that we need to cut down on add more streams, cut down on the budget. No. It's good as it is. That's great. I'm glad to hear that that's the direction we're moving in.
For the streams that happened, there was still some fucking great talent on there, right? We had Ender, we had Pace You Time that also came over from League of Legends. That was but it was super cool to watch them cast. I mean, Miss Harvey did a fucking kick-ass job. D's Dreams, who's in the chat right now, did a formidable job as observing as well. So that was cool for the mainstream. What I'm saying is that I wish we kind of had like the Nerd Street B, Nerd Street C, Nerd Street D to watch the other matches to get a little bit more.
Yeah, you're busy watch partying. You're not built for that. You're built for casting, my guy.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it is. You know.
I mean, hey, good start. Light where the prize money's at. Sounds like cast getting paid well, which is obviously awesome. I don't think it's going to be an issue anymore. I think people get it now. Yep. Let's crack on. Let's move on. Let's talk about the patch notes we saw in recent times, because there's quite a few of these that actually have an effect. First of all, Fractures Live. Have you guys queued into it in competitive yet? I actually queued into it in like a warm-up competitive game where I just like bottom fragged. Yeah, we all bottom fragged, to be fair. We had 3 people with 0 kills after 6 rounds. So,
shit.
Oh, God.
But let's talk about our experiences with it so far.
What do you think, Mitch?
Some people fucking hate it. I don't mind it.
I love it. I love the map. Yeah? I love the map. Mitch, what are your thoughts?
I really love it. I think, like, I don't know. I've heard a lot of people complain about the zip lines under. I don't really give a shit about them. Like, they're going to be so rarely utilized. And even then, they give away the info, right, with the sound if you were to try to flip over. I think this is one of the most innovative FPS maps without having anything that's like ridiculous. It just really changes and challenges the way that you think about the attack and defensive sides. I fucking love this map. I think casting it, don't get me wrong, it's going to be a nightmare. But for the first while, like, getting used to this is going to be so strange. The pace of pro teams on this map, I'm not looking forward to figuring it out, but having it figured out will be fun.
Astra Viper on this map seems fucked up. This site, the A site, seems pretty claustrophobic for defenders, though, if I'm honest with you. Like, it's like you want to play off of it and into the middle of the map as much as you can, because if you get hemmed in, you're fucking stuck and you're going to die to utility like raise nades and shit.
Yeah, I feel definitely for the A site, it's you don't turtle into the site because, again, we're looking at orbital strikes or even like a breach. Rolling Thunder just fucks you up in that middle site, right? Yeah. So you probably have to push up to play hulls, to play rope side, or maybe even push for dish control and you play the retake if you lose one extremity. I think that's the best way because by holding one single angle, to have that middle connector usually have less lurkers from the attacker side in the defender spawn, it's easier for you to rotate to B to A. Overall, though, I think the map in itself, just like what Mitch Man was saying, is the concept of it is amazing. I think this is something that's super new into the attack FPS genre, but I think it's still going to bring some good competitive matches. I think Breach is going to be fucking amazing on this map. Breach and Sky are going to continue to be... or Sky continue to be super amazing on a map like Fracture, but Breach is going to be a great plus. Easy counter to Killjoy, by the way, with the new updates going in for Breach now too. So I think it's going to get picked a little bit more now.
I like this. So I think Counter-Strike tried to do this with Nuke, to be honest with you. Create like a different paradigm
about pack
shooters.
Yeah.
With like the bomb sites on top of each other, technically. I like this. Obviously, the sites get pinched a whole bunch, and I feel like, well, you can't, as defenders, you can't play to extremities as much as you would like, I think. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, but there is a lot of flanking potential with the way that this map is. I don't really imagine a ton of people are going to use the ziplines mid-round, would they?
I was going to say that they will, because it's fast rotations, right? Because when you're looking at when you're spawning from the attacker side, you're immediately potentially going right into action, into A halls or to B entrances, arcades, wherever it is, right? Any of the four quadrants could have immediate action. If you get kills or you get picked off, you could have a way faster rotation onto or the other side of the map from the zip line or the zip line to the other spike site. And I've played situations in competitive where, you know, we dropped the spike, we had the first fight, we're waiting 5 seconds, but somehow, like maybe 8-9 seconds later after the zip line, he's already behind us too. You can have fast rotations. You could also not have it make sound because you could also hit walk on it too. So when you're walking across the zip line,
that takes years though, right?
So if someone peeks you,
it's not going to be as slow. So let's say you start on the zip line, you start with the walk, it's going to be slow. But once you let go at that middle portion of the zip line, you could just let it go because they technically won't hear you there unless you're really holding spawn, which I doubt you can still hear.
Now let's be clear: you die if you come off that zip line, right?
You can't fall. They're just no clipping at that point for an average.
Okay, so you actually can't get off the.
No, you can't.
Right, you can slow down or you can keep going. That's it.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Yeah. Can't go back. Yeah.
This is going to be such a good map. Unfortunately, it's not going to be for LCQ, but I can't wait to see this game for champions. This map for champions.
I'm really curious to see if the four ult orb stays the way it is. Like, I feel like right now, the reason I say the attack and defense is kind of blurred is because I feel like you're both playing both. Like, defaulting on the attack side is going to be as important as it is on defense this map more so than anywhere else. And I think that where we're seeing Jonas right now around Dish, sort of control with a support with someone like Sky, if you hold that, then when you think about pushing back into a site into retaking it, you have your players coming from mid, you have your Dish play, which is your support, who pretty much can't be pushed. Like, when a retake is being mounted as an attacker on the site, if you try to push up there, you're on drugs. So they're pretty much free to pop support flashes, put in their utility, know that more than likely they won't be pushed. And even if someone attempts it, your teammates coming out of mid that you're throwing that utility for are going to cover you. I think that it's going to be really interesting to see the likes of maybe even like running a Phoenix just because there's so many ult orbs to fight for. And if you manage to get constant run it backs, it's going to make it a lot easier breaking through those chokes. I can't wait to see it, but I'm really glad it's not an LCQ just because I think it's too much of a twist to adapt to that quickly.
Yeah. Well, what's going to happen?
Still getting a grip on Breeze as it stands.
That's what I was going to say.
In Berlin, it was like, what, two teams that were reliably picking it? It was like a Brazilian team and like Sentinels, right? Mm-hmm. Not many teams were going there at all. I think we need to let that settle for a bit. Seems like fighting for extremities as defenders is what kind of makes you feel like you're in the attacker's role, right?
Yeah.
Because you want to try and...
Yeah.
Like break, you want to try and break any pincer earlier as you can. Like if you have no info on that map, you're completely fucked.
Mm-hmm. I'm still wary of what's going to happen for champions though. Maybe because Fracture is so new that it's going to be that map that's going to be auto-banned for a lot of these teams, so you might see a little bit more breeze. But once we get into a little bit more breeze and it's already had some gameplay, hopefully we're going to see different types of strategies and not the type of, like, Viper Wall on A side, try to take a fast take on that side too. Kind of like, it's like the new Icebox right now until those spammable boxes come out.
With the new veto system, though, I presume being bam, bam, pick, pick, bam, bam, you'll end up in some pretty interesting positions where if you're banning first, do you take it out or do you just assume your opponent can't play it? And I think at that point, that's where teams like Sentinels, where teams like Gambit are going to be banning Fracture outright coming into Champions because they're not going to risk another team having found a different perspective on it unless they've got a lot of reps on it. So I think it's going to be really, really interesting that it can kind of slip through if the first team takes a risk.
Yeah, you get a free ban if you're ahead on Fracture, you get a free ban every veto.
Yep.
Sorry. I think that's pretty critical. Now there was an issue with the spike spawning under the fucking map. through a tweet. So one too many reports. I'm sorry. One is too many report. Are coming in that the spike is spawning underneath Fracture. So that's a game that's just rip. To be fair.
Yeah.
It was good to defend on that map.
Yeah, they took it out. They took it out basically. Yeah, exactly, right? No, they took it out. I think it was just a hotfix too, because they didn't shut down the servers. I remember just like the exclamation point on the top left of my menu saying, "Hey, Fracture's being pulled out for a quick fix," and then suddenly after everything's back after an update and we're able to play now. So it was actually a quick fix. Outside of that, I haven't seen any type of like groundbreaking bugs. For example, like a Killjoy turret that could shoot through walls, like we saw in Ascent before. So I think it's pretty good so far. I think people are going to keep watching average Jonas videos to play a Sova on that map. I think a Sova could still be pretty useful on the map too. But if you're going to have to try to go a double initiator, I'd probably still have to watch out. Watch out, Uber. Yeah. Got vertigo on that.
What the category fuck? Eight.
Nah, all my fans started knocking on my door at the same time.
Turned them off. So then just a double initiate, I think like a Sky Breach would probably be more useful for me personally than a Sova, but we'll see what the pros come out with.
Jet. Yep. So there's a big discussion about Jet. It's been there for ages. She gets changes here, reduction to her Cloud Burst, so she can't literally just fucking caterpillar through like her smokes. I think there was just a feeling that she had to. I liked reading the rationale for these changes. Now her right click on her ultimate doesn't recharge knives, so you can't just fucking steamroll cunts when you just walk up to them and fucking right click. God, it used to shit me so much.
Yeah.
Also, the right click slash alternate fire damage changes are reverted. Damage and multipliers will mirror with left click. Can you explain this one to me? Because I don't know what that means.
Have you ever seen
non-jet player? I don't play duelists. I fucking hate them.
So I played Jet at one point, not knowing that those changes happened, and I right clicked. Saw a headshot and the person didn't die, and the words that came out of my mouth can never be repeated. I was fucking furious. So basically the right click did less damage, so it wasn't quite as easy to get a kill. Obviously with the RNG, it's going to connect to head sometimes, and you know, if no other knife connects, you don't deserve the kill. So they're changing that back now, I presume, so that it
you gotta let more knives
exactly as expected.
Okay,
yeah,
headshots,
just gotta let more knives. I do like it though. I do like that small balance that we have if you're mixing both the right click changes and the cloud bursts, because as you mentioned here, Mitch Ben, is when you're in that caterpillar burst, there's a lot of those plays in there.
Mitchell man, sorry,
Mr. Shout. But when you're actually playing caterpillar inside those smokes, that's where the right click was very, very effective, because you could just get the right click kill and refresh that and still get some more close range battles into it, right?
She's still fucking busted with shotties though, right?
But that's the thing though. So that's where you have a nice little balance of both, because you could get a right click kill, but you cannot get the refresh. Hopefully on an eco round that picks up a gun that allows you to pull it on time to be able to get a kill after. Exactly like that, right? So you're starting to play more of these high risk, high rewards type of game if you want to play that type of style with Jet, which I like in terms of that nerf.
Did that look high risk to you, Vance?
Well, I mean, he was pretty close. I don't know, man.
I saw a great click from a proto yesterday where Jet does that, comes up and like in parabolic, you know, like jumps up into the air and just fucking smashes him with a one tower. That was incredibly cathartic. Is this enough? I want to know.
I think so. From an identity perspective, I I don't want Jet to be removed to the or to the point that she's nowhere near as useful as she is now. Like,
yeah,
she's annoying as fuck and she's very strong, yeah, but she's not unbeatable. And obviously, because you can both have Jet as well, changes things completely. I agree with what Riot have been saying, that they want things to be from more of a perspective of, we want to give you the tools to deal with her instead of like removing her ability. And mm-hmm, I think that's a good call. I've seen some stuff about her dash only working in a forward direction, which it deepens the mechanics a little bit, but it's still massively overpowered if you're an AWPer. Just means you got to know how to flick 90 degrees. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
It's going to add, what, like 0.1 of a millisecond onto your reaction. So I don't think that, like, I think giving us more tools to play against Jet is definitely the way to go. Not even going to attempt to imagine what those are, because the agents that they've been coming out with impress me every single time. I'm sure Riot have a pretty good idea what they're going for, but I don't know. I just think if you take Jet out of this game and now we're missing that kind of Jet dash op, I feel like we lose so much of what was there as a core element of the game.
There's a real bit of really flavor about it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Give me
yeah
a reason not to play Jet other than that, oh, we patched her so she's shit. Give me a reason that I should play someone else.
Sort of. Right. Yeah. That's the Dota the Dota sort of approach as well, where everything's kind of fucking busted,
yeah,
to be honest.
I think if we go back to that poll, right, the 44% that was saying how people are content with the change, but it still needs a little bit more, it's on that dash conversation. And then, Daniel, if you could also bring out the reply from from Riot. That was actually a reply from a post that I had. I said, hey, let's think outside of the box. What can we do with this Jet dash, right? So my idea with the Jet dash was it charges up kind of like a breach charge. So, for example, you still have a limit of, like, the distance that she could travel on her dash is going to be the same amount of time that she could currently dash right now, right? But if you could actually do a shorter charge, so you could actually just do a quick dash away if you're going to play one of those aggressive angles as a Jet AWPer. Because the issue right now with the Jet dash is that it's still going to be very, very strong for a Jet AWP, as Mitch Man was mentioning before. So if you're actually doing the charge, then you could still play like those one-and-done angles and play dangerously, but if you're going to be the type of person that's setting up for a set take and you're creating space into the site, so for example, Jet dashing from the entrance of ASN onto the generator, I could charge that up, put the cloud burst, let it go, and start getting into there and create that space. So it's like a balance in between. But it does make sense to what Raikou was saying too. It's like the more agents that we're going to come out, the more abilities that we're going to provide here for these agents to try to fight against that. Is the way it seems to be the way that Riot wants to go with. And I think for me, it makes sense. We just have to be patient. We're only at 16 agents right now, when they had the plan of like almost 100 agents when the game first came out. So who knows if Deadeye now that's going to come out could be another straight counter into Jet or not, right? Because that's the changes that we had on Breach most recently with the fault line to try to counter those angles from Jet.
Look, commendable, I think, their approach in terms of trying to add some more granularity to the rest of everybody's kits. I think that's just good philosophy.
Yeah.
Let's move on, talk about some of the changes we've had to a few maps, because I think the Radiantite sort of shippers have discovered that much of their fucking, you know, product has gone missing or been destroyed in transit. So they've shored up these containers a little bit more. There's a few of these changes. We're gonna kind of go through them and quickly, you know, if you guys see one that's sort of stands out to you, I'd love to talk about it. This is Ascent first here. This is just on the site, I guess, to make it a safer post-plant position or for defenders, I guess, to deal with push.
Yeah, I actually, for the Ascent one for me is kind of like looking more on that defender side, because you're trying to find better angles to try to hold your defense with, right? Because let's say I'm a Cypher angle and me being a Killjoy main, if I'm not playing retake onto site, most of the places you're playing close to the entrance to play a one and done or behind a generator, right? So if you're going to, or behind all the way towards hell. So anything that spams behind those boxes, you can't really play like a good angle to play around those dices to anchor the site. So I think that's a great change for the Ascent boxes, because it gives you another angle to hold on and play around, at least on the defense. So I think that's a pretty good change. The Aftershock coming in from Breach could be a nice counter to that too. And the Initiator abilities like the Sova Dart or the Aldrone could still be a great way to counter that position that's now unspammable. So I think this is a pretty good change for Ascent.
All right, yes. We got Bind as well, I think. So we can move on. I think this one is pretty cut and dry.
Yeah,
a few of these are very straightforward.
Yeah.
This is Triple. We now have a stronger stack. This is just, again, so you can attack it up, so you can plant without getting sprayed down. A few of these are actually to facilitate that.
Agreed
to. Just minor adjustments.
Yeah, I think this is good. Go ahead, Mitchman. I'll let you go first.
Yeah, it's just like I was going to say, the majority of these are sort of quality of life. They're not actually going to fix anything massive. They're not going to change the way you approach the map. It's just that, yeah, occasionally these kind of 1% plays that would come through where someone just messes you up as you come out. You know, some guy playing with an Odin, maybe.
I don't know. I think the biggest situation in that right now, like off the bat, is the last 10-second rotation that you have, for example. If you're trying to hit the B site, it's not working out. It's a one versus one. You take the spike, you go through teleporter to showers. A lot of those times with 10 seconds left, you have no choice but to plant at triple. So the defender that's rotating from B site all the way to spawn side pipes could just spam through the boxes and potentially kill you. So that allows a little bit more versatility for the attackers to play those clutch moments. You can't get sprayed by two angles if you're trying to get more. I think it's the idea is to get more plant spots as well from shower side without needing a sage wall to get the plant to you. So that's a good little change.
Fracture gets a change as well. Now, I haven't played enough this map to sort of have a feeling about this one. Do you guys have any thoughts here?
Oh, you get fucked up, man. You get fucked up. Like, that plant spot right there in the corner, I mean, again, I like the Odin. I play with it a little bit. No motherfuckers are planting on my site when that box is hollow. But now it's a little bit more difficult. You know, you can actually spam it from underneath the sewers as well.
Yeah,
you can spam that plant spotter like pretty close to it.
No way.
You can do it with a Vandal, not even an Odin needed. So shit's kind of wild. There's a bunch of spots you can do that on.
There's even wall banks you do on Fracture with a classic seal too. So it's almost a nuke style. It's almost a nuke style 1.6
paper bag right now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Map. Mm-hmm. All right.
So that helps. That helps.
Haven gets a change.
Chinese
on Haven. Now, how relevant is this? Do you often see that? I've seen a fucking disgusting no-sco through here by Wardell, but again, this is another attacker assist, I guess. But I think you clear CT before you maybe put, maybe you don't, right? Maybe there's a smoke there
sometimes,
and someone's spamming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I will say again, as a Garage Odin player, I'm quite pissed off with Riot. I feel targeted. I feel harassed. This is not fair. I'm going to have to try some new things now, and I don't like that. So if we could just stop, that would be great. But for now, it's, again, a 1% play. 99% of the time you plant there, you don't have a problem because, as you said, you'll already have CT control.
Okay. Yeah. This last one might be the most significant, though, I think. This is Icebox.
It is.
And this box is now impermeable.
Yeah. This is still a Band-Aid patch, in my opinion. So, yes, you could get the plants, right? But I think the bigger issue with Icebox right now is also the pulse plant. Because what's going to happen after you get this plant with this quote-unquote pennable or unpennable now is that you still fall back towards yellow. You still fall back towards green. You're still playing the same type of pulse plants in the back there. You're not really changing the variety of pushing down towards spawn or anything. Potentially, maybe, because if you don't have that wall anymore for the plant needed for Sage, you could put the wall a little bit deeper. But I still believe that the pulse plant is going to be played the same way for now. So the Band-Aid solution, cool, but I think it still needs a revamp.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think this is going to stop Sage from being picked. It is going to give attacking Sage a little bit more depth to do what we already see teams doing. Which is putting your wall down deeper and looking for control over either spawn or con. But
can you wall snowman off?
You could.
Is it wide enough?
You could. But you know, it still comes to the same story where that wall towards snowman could maybe even help you get like the sage could now push forward in the wall while you have somebody else plant instead. But the pulse plant is still look, I'm playing behind yellow, I'm fucking playing behind green. I have pulse plants lineup, so if I'm Sova or I'm Viper or even Killjoy, so
defensive
I figured out the hard way that your Viper post plants, you need to fire, you need to shoot it like kind of early, even before they start defusing, because it arcs like a fucking bitch if you try and like do it from green. I got egg on my face one round by being way too slow with my
was that in games yesterday that you were streaming?
Listen, it's just silver things, guys, it's all right. I have to figure this. No, I wasn't. I got carried this, so don't worry about that. I'm so silver, bro, it's unreal. All right, so looks like a bit of a change, a bit of a Band-Aid, though. What about this one? KO gets a... Oh, God, I hate this. KO gets some amazing changes in this patch. All right, so Vance is happy about it. So these changes should reward those of you that put extra effort to pop flash, right?
Yes.
And the ultimate is just fucking, it's so good. Dude, oh my God. All right, so let's talk about the flash first. So wind up telegraph's been reduced.
Mm-hmm.
And on the right click, it's even less now as well, because obviously with the lob, it's like a slower animation.
Yeah.
And there's no audio when you throw it, right? It's only when it pops. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's been reduced to a speed where I think where the nerf of the sky flash in terms of how she could control her flash is the same time now. So 0.3. So getting under hands, trying to be more self-sufficient with the KO is actually great. Like if you're looking, for example, the first clips that we've seen, was literally with nothing when KO first came out. He's like, oh, I feel like I'm playing Counter-Strike. Now you can even feel like you're playing Counter-Strike even more with the pop flashes that you could do with KO. Sideshow tried it yesterday. He's like, oh, yeah, man, KO bust. Let's try it when we're doing our stacks. I was specking him when I was dead. He's never used a single flash. So I still have no conclusion how to play it by looking at Sideshow's games. But but at least from the rest, from people who do play the underhand flashes, it could work. I think this is going to be his
conclusion.
You guys talk about him like he's bad. You guys never had to play Overwatch with Sideshow. Like he actually purposely throws that game. And then when he gets on Valorant, it's a different story. The motherfucker's actually trying. It makes me so mad because he's already forked over like thousands of my SR in Overwatch. And then I play Valorant with him and he expects me to fucking help him win? Piss off.
I've tried with Sideshow. I play with you in Sideshow in Overwatch, but you know, when it's tough to play, when I don't have no idea what the fuck I'm doing on Lucio. But anyways.
Sure. You do good. You do good. So this KO ultimate change is super annoying. So I had this situation yesterday. We're pushing B-Sire on Icebox, right?
Yeah.
KO ultimate. Okay, fine. We kill the guy. But I still can't put my fucking walls up. My my pre-plant utility can't be used because he still pulses while he's down. And I can't very well. He's on the defender side of yellow where we kill him. So I can't very well walk up and just start fucking stabbing the shit out of him. I'm sat there like a fucking lemon. I can't do anything. His ultimate just seems incredibly powerful now.
I mean, go ahead, Mitch, man. I'll let you start, man. I talk way too much. I'm going to start sipping more coffee. Go ahead.
You got some Tim Hortons. Yeah, I think it's going to be really, really strong. The fact that it still activates when he's down, when I was playing as him, I wished that was a thing. But I can see how that is absolutely not a great idea. A very frustrating mechanic to play against because, like you're saying, what do? He ults backside, back yellow. He still takes a fight. You can't really punish him for it, right? Mm-hmm. Because now your Sage Wall can't go up to get you to cross to yellow. Your Viper Wall can't go up. Like, unless you've got smokes very far away, they can't even be put down. So you're left in a position where you're pretty fucked. I'm not really sure where that's coming from. And to be honest, it's one of the few changes I see where I'm thinking that's maybe going to disappear or he'll get like less health when he's down or something like that. Because,
yeah,
a little bit too strong.
The thing for me with KO is before when he first came out and you were using the ult is that I think it was the VCT qualifiers, right? Zeppo was playing it. Roko was playing with EG. And as soon as the ult and the null come in, they would instantly get down because they're the first fucking idiot that runs in while they're ulted. Yeah. And once they get down, then it doesn't pulse anymore. And then as a defender, it's just a lot easier because one person that's down, it becomes a visor for the KO, but you don't have to shoot him down. You could still use your abilities now. Now it becomes more important where the KO could still run in first and make that mistake and be down first. But while it still pulses, you have now to make the decision as a defender to be like, do we unload all of our bullets to take him down even faster so that we could actually start using our abilities back? Or do we want to turn this into a duo battle against our opponents who could still use abilities against us that are suppressed? So I think it adds that layer in terms of like decision-making for defenders.
You could just fucking int out of aim main on ascent and die as a defender, and then the attackers, it's like fucking Viper holding the side, except you can actually pull it off when you're fucking dead.
Yeah, and then now it forces potentially like a Sova Hunter's Fury to be forced to pulse at least half of the HP down where the other ones are spamming, the Orbital Strike to come down if you have a Brimstone pick for that. So I think it's actually pretty cool that you're making these players have different types of like decision-making pathing to do with their abilities, which is going to be really fun to see if people start adopting.
I wish I could just Viper star him and put him in a fucking little tomb. Put him in a cone of silence, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Out of sight, out of mind. Fuck him. But obviously the pulsing is not blocked by, you know, it's not subject to line of sight. So fair enough. Like, I am dog shit at Valorant. So, like, you have to take that with a pinch of salt. But it was definitely quite a challenging conundrum that I ran into with this sort of ulting KO. Mm-hmm. Sky gets some changes as well while we move on. Looks like the gun uptime reduction, or the gun uptime increase rather, made her a little too strong as a solo do-it-all kind of agent here. So now after you cast Guiding Light, it's like a 50% increase of the sort of time, wind-up time. And the Seeker's got more expensive. So I think we can all agree that Seeker's being six orbs is like insanely low, right?
Yeah.
Amount of times that I would see, and Sky being like sick at getting kills for herself with the Guiding Light meant that I was always getting fucking... I was always getting fucking the Italian job, except it's not like these fucking Mini Coopers with like police sirens. It's these fucking jellyfish running after me.
Yeah.
But like Steve Irwin, it's fucking bullshit.
Yeah. She was insane. I think the fact that we saw like players like Solkus have this insane turnaround where he was a good player before and then he was one of the statistically highest rated playing just Sky. You look at a bunch of the like Jett mains, Raze mains from back in the day, even compare ACS with players who had been playing Sky, then you look at the update and all of a sudden her pick rate goes up massively, her win rate goes up massively, her impact round to round through the fucking roof is a situation where something had to be done. So I think nerfing her here still puts her in a decent position, but it takes away a lot of that very duelist vibe. Like I'd gotten to the point where in casts I was like, no, she's a duelist, she's absolutely not a support. I think now we're getting her back in line with what her kit is supposed to be for.
Yeah.
She's still going to get picked. Identities of these agents when, you know, there's still the gunplay element that is quote unquote the same for everybody.
Yeah.
It is fascinating how Riot tries to rank. Are you happy? Like, are you happy with these changes? You know what I mean? Like the strengthening of KO, the weakening of Sky. Is this acceptable? Someone in chat, by the way, said that your takes were casual about Jett. I just want to put that out there. They said, you're only talking as casuals and actual competitive players still don't think these changes are enough. I mean, the guy is obviously gold three, so I mean, I definitely would take that seriously, right? Definitely need to give his opinion due consideration, but what do you think? Is that casual? You casual guys?
The casual takes on Jett? I think that right now at the pro level, it's not going to be affected them that much in terms of the Jett changes, like I said before. So I think...
Right. That is similar to what our friendly neighborhood random chatter did say, that it wasn't enough. The Jett op play style still warps the game in a
maybe they just missed that portion where we mentioned that, but it's all good, you know, like your t-shirt says. I think
nothing bad.
I think with all of these changes so far is it won't change in terms of agent pick rates when you're looking at the tournament play, right? So let's say we get into LCQ and we're now using the latest patch but we're not using Fracture, Sky is still gonna get picked a lot. Sova's probably still going to get picked a lot over Breach and over KO just because of the kit that these two agents currently have as initiators. So they're still very strong despite the changes to Sky. And I also find that Jett is still going to get picked a lot because she's still going to be amazing as a Jett op. So it's cool balances, but it doesn't fully change the whole playstyle on a higher macro level of Valorant.
Fair enough. We're going to go to a quick break, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, we're going to talk about all these roster changes. I think there's actually a bunch going on right now. It's getting a bit fucking crazy. So we're going to leave plenty of time for that. When we come back, on the other side of this break. See you in a second. All right, get your fucking red noses and clown hats on, everybody, because Roster Mania has officially begun. Now with Masters Berlin behind us and still a little bit of time before Champions, there are plenty of teams that are trying to retool. Some are going to LCQ. Some are just not. We're going to talk about all of those and the teams in between in just a moment. First of all, let's talk about a new academy team is born in North America. And we've been talking about this concept for ages about whether it's really worth it.
Yeah.
Cloud9 have just announced their head coach, Vexel, for their Cloud9 Valorant Academy, Vansilly.
Yeah, so Chad, let me know. What are the rumors? Who are they picking up as a team? Would it be like the XEZ5? I don't know what's going on. But at least they have the coach. But it goes back to the conversation. What's going on right now with Valorant in the academy scene? Because at first, last year, around the same amount of time, we were looking at how a lot of these teams like T1, like Cloud9, that had a Korean team, had to actually break out from those because they couldn't participate in the VCTs. But now, is there something that the orgs know that we don't know, that there's potentially going to be a circuit or support for the tier two scene, the academy side? Are we getting closer to the franchises where you now have the LCS and then you have the academy side of League of Legends 2? And would Riot go in that same format? If it does, great. I think this is super cool right now for the scene to slowly grow and for the organizations, the big name organizations, picking up these academy teams. So I don't know if it's going to be until next year. Maybe they're building for 2 years right now, in my opinion, but it's a good start.
Okay. Look, I like Cloud9. Have actually always had like a decent academy infrastructure, right? They're no strangers to doing this. I talked a bunch with, I mean, for example, like Blabber, their LCS jungler now was on their academy team, right? I think maybe even Vulcan was for a time. I got to interview these guys when I worked with Cloud9 on their sort of weekly variety show. Mm-hmm. By the way, they never work, those weekly variety shows. I'm talking to Ven, I'm talking to us, and I'm also talking to fucking G4. That shit is just, that shit doesn't work. But let's talk about my favorite fucking team in the whole world, guys. I just want to grab this team's logo, and I just want to smooch it, every part of it. You know what I mean? It's so bad for me, but it's so good. It's a cure for hypotension, ladies and gentlemen. T1's Valorant roster are testing a major roster overhaul with several players removed. Brax, Dawn, and Skanoodle were not seen in practice and could, in theory, be removed. They're tentative changes and should not be seen as final. Thank you, Mr. Geddes. Okay, so fucking poor Brax. A motherfucker being in a neck brace, man, with this whiplash from being in and out of this damn team. Holy crap.
Super sad. I mean, the major overhaul, if you're thinking about it, okay, it sucks for Brax. It sucks for Dawn, that actually had a pretty decent showing for the VCTs when he was subbing in for Spider. Spider currently still not being announced as inactive or traded out. Maybe he's coming back into the roster too. So you think about this core right now. So you have Curry that's been doing a pretty decent job as IGLing. You have Tim, probably that T1 invested a lot into Automatic to be part of that core. Are they potentially building around him? Maybe. And then you have Spider. I think that on those three on paper still look pretty good. Who are going to be the other two? Could it be Steel? Could it be somebody else? I think the overhaul is potentially needed. I wish Brax probably had more chances, but I mean,
how many more chances do you want to give him? Now, like, look,
well, you've given him one game. You've given him one game or like a fucking week every time he went back to like T1 or to TSM, back to T1. Like, fuck, give him a fucking chance. When you also had him at the beginning of T1 with like AZK, with Daze and all that, he didn't have a chance to shine because those guys are playing even slower than fucking Gambit when they're trying to fucking execute into sights. So I think that Brax's potential, I'm still a fond believer of Brax. I'm still a fond believer of T1 with the revamp too. I don't think my bubble's bursted.
Okay. All right. That's fair. I do think like we didn't get to see much of Brax because T1 don't really compete in that many like other supplementary events. Maybe they don't want to give away what they're doing, but...
Or they weren't qualifying.
fuck me. Yeah. I'm just a little... This team is secretive as fuck. You know, they really keep their cards close to their chest, and then they make these really inscrutable decisions. Tarik obviously recently announced he got signed. I might be jumping ahead on the run of show, but I mean, you know, this team has a fucking habit, by the way, of picking up known quantities and not really scouting endemic individuals as much, right? Not that they don't do that at all, because I don't think that's fair to say, but Skadoodle, Automatic, Brax, three fucking players that have established reputations in a different game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, to what degree is this team able or willing to scout from the current pool of Valorant talent? And, you know, is that a better way to go here at this point? Because these guys keep just... I think T1 are so fucking obsessed with brand power from their players. Like, they fucking bought the franchise from SKT, I assume, bought Faker. You know, they pimped the shit out of him all the fucking time. They just love him a whole bunch.
Yeah.
You know, they bring like ex Overwatch League players onto their team. Spider, Arns, for example. You know, like the fattest PR boner I think I've ever seen, like in terms of how they put their teams together.
You could say the same thing for other teams that have had successes and teams that don't have that success right now, right? Like you look at FaZe, for example, that picked up a lot of the Overwatch players in there too. Baby Bay, also from Overwatch, but also from Counter-Strike, where they had decent success for the Masters 1 run. You have the same type of addition and purchase power with 100 Thieves with the roster that they currently have with, now we'll talk about it later, the removal of Steel. That is all brand power with Hiko, with Nitro, with Steel. It worked.
But it's not working for them.
You're wearing their fucking t-shirt.
Is all I'm saying.
Yeah,
the question is like, at what point do they make the pivot to like the more homegrown talent in? I'm not saying like they're the only guys doing this.
Yeah.
They've been doing it and they've been shopping the shit out of Brax, for example, and haven't really had anything come of it. That's the only.
I think it's starting now. I think the question that you have, Mitch, with what's going to go with T1, are they actually going to go a little bit more into like the potential newer talent that's going to come out? I think it's now. I think it's now. Yeah.
All right. I'm interested to see
if
I can pick up another CS player because. I think the money in Valorant is pretty inflated right now, huh? Like, I'm hearing a lot of rumors about like salaries are quite good considering where like the scene is at, and for like CS guys, it's kind of attractive, especially because I know this sadly, but like tier 2 and tier 3 Counter Strike in North America is full of match fixes.
Of course.
Yeah. Because they don't make enough fucking money, and shady like bookkeeping websites from like Russia are just like, yeah, I'll give you some money for this game, and fuck yeah, they just throw.
Yeah,
like,
there is
none of this going on.
And I remember literally speaking to like a player for a tier 2 European team at an event, and it was myself, him, and some players from Southeast Asia, and we were talking about match fixing, and they were saying obviously in Southeast Asia it's fucking ludicrous because you can have teams that are on like fucking $200 a month. So if someone turns around to you and goes, hey, do you want like 10 grand to just lose one of these pointless group stage games? Yeah, okay, sure. Like every player's getting 10k. We also, the guy from Europe said that he had even had a bookmaker come to him and be like, we have 50 grand, we'll give 10k to each of your players if you lose such and such game. And it's always games that you can afford to lose. You know, you're in a group with 3 teams that you can beat, lose one game for us and you get 50K. So it's kind of fucking ludicrous. And so when you have Brazil, where I know, obviously we talked just the other week to some of the coaches there, and they were saying that like $600 a month is the upper peak. Someone comes along with even 5 grand and goes, you want this? And you're like an amateur level team. A lot of people are going to be tempted by that.
It's concerning, to be sure. I mean, yeah. So that's just a side note. I know it's like pretty attractive in Valorant right now. So that's sort of fine. I just, you know, it's odd. But okay, we talked about FaZe, right? And how they weren't maybe getting the results and they had like these previous known quantities. But they also had, I mean, they won tournaments as well. Like FaZe had like these incredible peaks, right?
Yep.
Question is, how the fuck do they get back there? And they tried to make a change. Well, they have made a change in the coaching staff. And this is a name. He's looking good. He might always have been fucking surfing. JDM, the Lounge King himself, returns to head coach FaZe Valorant. Holy smokes. Okay, Vance.
Super happy. What do you think? Fuck. Just JDM, just dance man, just lounging. JDM is actually... It's a big question mark. I was a huge fan of JDM when he was actually still a great opper for CLG and his tenure in CSGO. He's gone off the radar, pretty much. In the Valorant scene. I think he started in the beginning, he was streaming it a bit, and then he just disappeared. So for him to come back into FaZe as head coach, what did he do to actually convince FaZe Clan? What's the plan behind it? How much studying has he actually done? Because as you said, you saw like the wavy curls coming out right now from JDM. He's been doing a lot more fitness. He's been pulling out videos on how to breathe.
Kind of schwoll.
Yeah. But even more now. And I saw it like I see his like golfing and stuff like that too. Like,
I mean, this fucking whole team looks like they belong on Jersey Shore, dude. Yep. Like, it's like a fucking requirement.
They're
trippy, bro.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that tan is real. My guy is resplendent.
They're the ones
sparkle in the moonlight. It's crazy.
They're the ones that need to do like maybe FaZe Clan. So you know how 100 Thieves went with Gucci, and then you have G2 with Ralph Lauren. So maybe now we're going to have FaZe Clan Valorant like teaming up with Louis Vuitton, and then you just have all these guys
they're
just
all fucking hot.
Dripping out. Yeah, they're good looking people. But but you saw it there from that tweet, right? Trippy's going to be assistant coach. So to see Trippy going as assistant coach and now JDM, what type of plan is he bringing for FaZe Clan coming up in the LCQ? That's my biggest question mark, knowing that he hasn't played any official, any rank, any scrims, or at least that hasn't been streamed. For at least, like, I'd like to say 4 or 5 months. But I'm excited to see the future of this team.
Look, we really picked, I think we really, you know, picked Trippy's brain a lot about sort of, you know, because we wanted to know how the team was going to sort of bounce back after this. Everyone figured out the schmieging, right? And that sort of play style was no longer really valid. And, you know, I, for what it's worth, I think that, you know, we saw them really incorporate Breach and like start to try and play off each other's utility. Remember how we used to say they don't use utility, right? Which is obviously an exaggeration, but there was like a limited amount of like really coordinated executes and side hits. So on a macro level, you feel like someone like JDM probably can speak to that to quite a large degree. Mm-hmm. Whether that is still the problem for this FaZe Clan team or not, I don't really know. But I like, this is money moves, man. This is for sure. This is big move. So hopefully, as a fan of these guys, like we can sort of start to see them become much more of a relevant factor here as the year is carrying on. What about this? You talk about, you know, Dicey obviously, you know, never became irrelevant, right? Because his streams started popping off after he left Hunter Thieves.
Yeah.
What do you think about this pickup? Going to be joining Pittsburgh Knights here.
Yeah.
So this is not confirmed, and this team is not exactly a high flyer, right? They were like, but just a step below Virtuoso, I want to say, in terms of like how these teams went in, like, you know, opens and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I think this is pretty chill in terms of where they're trying to go right now. Because if you're looking,
what does that mean? What do you mean it's chill?
Like in the right direction to try to rebuild, okay, right? Because sorry, I was trying to act a little bit zoomer, but that didn't work.
Chill, man. Chill.
I mean. Yeah, so Dicey, actually, funny enough, is whenever like I was watching the co-stream with the Plat Chat of the Plat Chat boys during the Masters, and they had this clip of like, whatever happened to Dicey? So I like the discussion that he's actually able to join maybe a tier two team right now. They still have a very strong roster with Xif. I think the issue with Pittsburgh Knight, from what I've heard, is that they weren't actually that serious in terms of the investment that they wanted to put into a team. But now that they're picking up players like Xif that they actually want to keep a little longer term, you have Silence, you have Maka, you have Exalt, so you're actually building a little bit more in terms of like potentially the pay that's into the salaries of these players. So you're able to pick up somebody that has a lot of potential to continue to strive in a team with Dicey. And I think Dicey for me continues to be one of those great Jett players that could potentially replace DSR that has been their last Jett operator player for that team. So I think this is a good plus for them. Will they make it now to the point where you could see them at the VCTs qualifying into the main stages? Maybe not, but this is one step, probably like a rebuild of like what Ryze currently had, and we see them at the LCQ now. So short term, cool. Long term, chill.
Fuck you. That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't actually mean anything. Okay, so you're a Counter-Strike guy. We have to keep you on the show. So it's frustrating. It's only because you've been around forever and you remember shit like
I'm an old motherfucker.
So I saw the thread. Valley's like, post your first event and then your most recent. Just a bunch of COVID casters. Guys like, yeah, I just started casting. I'm undercutting everybody. And then Vans was like, 2003 and now. You know, a fucking cast that, uphill that's in a snowstorm, bitches.
Man, when I saw those tweets, I was like, you know what? Or when I saw Billy's tweet, I was like, maybe I won't post it. But then I'm looking like, oh yeah, my first event, 2017. I've come a long way. I was like, maybe I'm gonna add a little bit of like ego salt into this one. You're like, sprinkle a little bit of ego into that shit.
I'm like, I'm not posting on this one because there's no way I'm not gonna be able to be passive aggressive. I can't do it.
Oh my god.
And I'm not a passive aggressive guy, but the thing that I can stop from just calling people out on Twitter.
My first event was 2018. Let's go. Yeah,
I mean,
come so far. It's such a long time.
Boosted, man. Boosted.
Good times. Hey,
luckily for you, Mitch, you're not shit. So, you know, that puts you in the top.
The nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Hey, don't worry. Get me lick it up, and it'll get better. Let's let's talk about Jonty. Obviously of Counter Strike fame. Vans, you can fill us in on this. Obviously, it's another classic Counter-Strike player tweeting that I'll join a Valorant team or CS team. Like, they're remotely similar. I'm convinced that they're meteorically different here.
Yeah.
But, you know, he sort of says, hey, I'm really looking to put the time in here and, you know, and willing to move across if the offer's there, which there are good offers for teams. T1 is going to give fucking money to anybody who play Counter-Strike. So tell me a little bit about Jonji.
Dude, this is actually pretty cool. If you're talking about T1, this could be a very nice potential because Jonji, for let's talk about it first, still very young in terms of player. I think he's like 20, 21. So still very young in his career. But his latest team in Counter-Strike in North America was Bad News Bears. So Bad News Bears have had like probably the most support in NA outside of like Extra Salt. And outside of like EG and Liquid, it was like the next up and comer looking to be signed and looking for potential support into the scene. But I think Bad News Bears, of course, has had the bad news and haven't had the chance to be picked up by anybody yet. So I think Jonji, after his stint now with Bad News Bears, is looking for other avenues within CS or in Valorant. And the reason why I like this switch of potentially into Valorant is if you don't know Jonji in the Counter-Strike days before Bad News Bears, the biggest roster that he was in that Chaos roster. And who was in that Chaos roster at that time when Jonji was in that roster? Steel, Jonji, Leaf, Zeppa, Vanity, who was the coach? MCE. Which is why I tweeted out that tweet last week or a week and a half ago being like, oh, Steel dropping out 100 Thieves. We have Cloud9 right now still in the LCQ. It would be amazing to see that whole the whole team reunite into like, it's almost like a iBuyPower reunion, but even better because you have younger players going into the scene right now where they felt that they had unproven business, they still have business to prove actually business in Valorant. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You're mixing metaphors, but
exactly.
I know
that's my three languages.
Look, everyone was kind of hyped about that Chaos roster, wasn't it? It was like a real rising star in North American Counter-Strike, and life was cut brutally short by the game being dog shit. Here's a clusterfuck, in my opinion. This is a whole lot of bullshit, a whole lot of back and forth. Very complicated because 100 Thieves, you would think, guys, after such a strong performance in Berlin, right? And their big game, okay, they don't go all the way, sure, but they played some great, great Valorant.
Yeah.
Making big changes. This team is not fucking about. The Steel has been dropped. Not just moved to the bench, not just moved to inactive, not just moved to streamer, not just given a cushy job. He's been dropped from the roster. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I love a bit of pejorative here. Steel doesn't respond at all to the substance of what George is saying. He's just like, I'm going to ignore what you said and say, you're a shit writer. That's all. Fair enough. So here's the roster. So Boy is picked up here. And obviously, was it 7 will be on the bench? He's like this sort of young, I think he's
16.
I don't know, just... Yeah, young little fragger. So this is big. I think they're going to be playing in the LCQ with this roster as far as we know. So
yeah,
they're worried about not qualifying with Steel. What is this?
Yeah, so now the rumors or what would be happening with this roster is that Nitro should be IGLing for this team currently, right? As he apparently has been doing a lot of like the mid-game calls already in Berlin. So maybe they're trying to give more responsibility to Nitro to just full out call IGL when also you're playing Astra. So it's not too bad. I think you maybe try to call a little bit more, play a little bit more passively. And now let the youngins, let the Asuna frag, let somebody like 7 that's going to be able to come in and be another one of those potential rising stars into the roster. Boy into this roster already existed into the 100 Thieves roster. I think he joined as like part of like the analyst crew in the back end working to help out 100 Thieves in terms of their strategy. And Boy, if I remember correctly, was a pretty good Omen player too for the team. So going into the LCQ now, my bigger question is what roster or what agent comp, who's going to play what into this? And this is going to put 100 Thieves in a difficult position, in my opinion, to try to qualify to champions. So yeah, I'm also flabbergasted into such a last minute change into dropping Steel because, you know, maybe he didn't have the best numbers in Berlin, but overall still a great asset and an important asset to the team.
Yeah. Really, really weird decision. I have to say the most annoying thing about it all is the man's name is Boy. I mean, it's about 10 times when you were talking there, Vans, I was putting inflection for you just... And Boy, I remember back in the day, he was like, it's too much. Why is his name Boy? How are you supposed to cast that?
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be fun. So,
and I mentioned this, obviously. This is our producers just reminded me. Sean Gares says in a stream recently that he thought this was because 100 Thieves' strategy was getting stale, right? But from all from all of like the callers slash lurkers slash supportive players I've ever seen, Steel was quite impactful in many occasions. You know what I mean? Like I really, you know, obviously we have fuck all information to work on here, but I was never thought he was bad. I never thought he was not good enough for this team.
Look, the thing is with the conversation around the strategy around 100 Thieves being a little bit more stale, not only stems from Berlin, I think that stems even from after they won First Strike, right? Because they always had that same type of comp. They wanted to not necessarily evolve with the meta, because even Hiko mentioned in past clips that they are trying to evolve with the meta, but it just didn't work because it wasn't fitting their playstyle. But you come back into Berlin, qualifying into there, you bring in a KO, they try to change a little bit. They're doing great comeback games at the same time, too. Maybe that's what they don't want. They don't want to be forced against the wall where they always have to play the comeback game in all of these games, which has been the storyline for 100 Thieves after First Strike until now. But to see that they were able to start to get a little bit more better results to get top four, I think that's a great position to be at on the international stage when you were the one of the only representatives in North America against the international scene. So, and you were still able to beat Gambit that ended up winning the event. So that I think this is like a huge positive that you pull out of this when you come back from Berlin. But there's definitely more happening behind the scenes that we don't know of. But it's really unfortunate that it cut really short after that stint for this roster.
I'm just, I'm surprised that this is the last straw. Like for this team. I get playing from behind fucking sucks, so fair enough. And look, Steel did mention, like, he was feeling unwell one of the days and wasn't able to really call clearly and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, but that...
Oh, that's why... I think that's why the reply that he had to George Gaddis about the article was like, oh, your reporting is shit. Because when you're reading that article, it was all the factual stuff that Steele said during the interview. But when it's written in that sense where people might take things literally to be like, yeah, Steele didn't put good numbers because he couldn't think, because he couldn't call, maybe that's why he's cut. It's deeper than that, the reasoning behind you've been cut. It's not on just a single result. So so maybe that's why he was calling on that poor reporting from George.
They didn't go into Berlin thinking, hey, we are definitely keeping this exact roster, and come out going, shit, we need to kick this.
Yeah.
Not a chance. This is something that's been on their mind for a while. And that it's almost definitely not a reflection on Steel. It's just a reflection on the identity that 100 Thieves want to have, and he doesn't fit into it. In their minds, he might well fit into it, but they think that they've got someone that fits the bill a little better.
And that's the funny part, too, because Seven, right now, the Prodigy in that Tier 2 scene that has a chance now to sub with 100 Thieves has been playing a lot of Jett and I think Raze, if I'm not mistaken, right, as a duelist. So if is he going to now be... like a type of like second duelist beat now in the roster with 100 Thieves with Asuna? What's going to happen with this roster when we had the debate of is double duelist better
Nitro
than
gonna play Sentinel?
That's it, right? So what's going to happen right now with this roster too? I think there's going to be a full revamp going into this right now. So it's going to be an interesting path for 100 Thieves going into 2022.
Big storyline for LCQ for sure. Something we definitely got to keep our eyes on. Yep. Let's move across the pond and talk about Europe here. Not as much to talk about, but some really interesting news still popped up through the course of this year. Let's talk about OBG, who have just recently picked up a player called Coffee from Forza now. So this is now OBG in doing this have acquired Forza's spot in the LCQ. So I guess they got enough Forza players to do this. Either way, I don't know too much about One Breath Gaming. Mitch, why don't you fill us in?
Well, this is a team, obviously they're a CIS team, a bunch of Ruskies, and they're pretty damn sick. They're picking up one of the better parts of Forza, a team that back in the day, going back to beta, I hated that team so much. They played really sloppy, really dumb Valorant, and it was not fun to watch. But such was the style of the beta days. I remember they were actually the one team, the final bit of flack I'll give them, they were the one team that when it came to the We Play Ignition event, which was the biggest at the time, was 50K, they got invited. And they got invited because they were Forza, not because of any sort of merit on the server. And they got absolutely mauled to death. Like, it was not fun to watch. Since then, I mean, they were always solid players. Like I said, it was just sloppy play that even at beta level, teams could pick apart.
So they were missing a lot when it comes to structure, when it comes to the supportive elements behind them. But Coffee always stood out to me. So seeing him picked up by a decent team. I mean, this is a team that, what, I think that they're, at least on VLR, yeah, they're number 10 within Europe, or, you know, Europe as it's called, EMEA.
EMEA, yeah.
These guys are decent. I don't expect them to really do much against the tier one teams, though. I still think they're going to be too far behind on a mechanics level of just understanding the game, understanding team play, especially now adding Coffee in so late. But it's a small enough change, but it's nice to see that a guy that's been playing literally since the day that this game launched, religiously, I think he's got more than 4,000 rounds of Valorant played. So in officials, obviously. So cool. Pretty decent seeing him jump over. I think he can do some damage, but I won't be expecting God tier.
Okay. I think this is some of my favorite news. My brother's 11 months younger than me, you know, and I, now that we're like a world apart and we get to play games together, it's fucking awesome. And he's kind of just like me, except he swears more somehow.
What?
So that let's exists? Talk about, yeah, dude. I mean, he's also twice my size. I should mention that. Yeah, he's built. I can't have him on stream with me because I never know what he's going to say. Team Liquid, though, have acquired a Counter-Strike player by the name of Nivera, who just happens to be the brother of Scream. This is cool. So it'll be a six-man roster transition while Nivera plays for Cryptics. Mm-hmm. We don't know what the roles are. What was Cryptics playing, like Brim and stuff like that, or am I mistaken? No, that was
Link playing Brim.
Yeah.
Cryptics, okay. So I think was the Viper. Is it Sky?
Yeah, exactly.
Sky. Yeah.
Can someone give my man some fucking chapstick?
Oh, Jesus Christ! Cryptics being like Sentinel player for quite a while. So
yeah.
Seeing him, Nivera, come in is, look, it's kind of weird. I don't know how he's gonna fit in. It feels like another Yampi almost, but it worked in the end for Liquid, didn't it? So critique it too heavily. It's insane though to see this guy who I had a lot of contact with when it came through tier 3, tier 2 Counter-Strike back in the day, which, as we've already established, for me means 2019. He was a solid player, but the hype was always around the fact that he was Scream's brother. Now getting to see him play on a team with his bro, it's going to be really, really cool. Even just from a storyline perspective, and I want to see them playing in the same room, you know, in the Team Liquid facility. That's got to bring team morale way up.
They're going to get so sick of answering the same questions.
What's it like playing with your brother? Yeah.
It's just every shitty journalist who doesn't read other articles is going to fucking ask that. I feel for those guys. I mean, that's just the way it's going
to
be.
Sorry, just to add quickly about Nivera. I think Nivera is like one of those first ones in Europe, actually, that still has like a good potential and good pathing in his gaming career in CS, right? Like still in his prime, that could still play for a very good team in Europe, and that decided to make the switch. There wasn't many of those, aside from like Yampi, also another one that made the switch from Counter-Strike to Valorant when they're still in their prime. Outside of that, everybody else was like slowly declining. So it's nice to see that there's a little bit more traction in that too, like the interest of pro players in their prime to want to play Valorant right now.
So, one team gets out of EMEA LCQ. This team goes up against OBG first and then has to play the winner of Supermassive and Guild. Does this team get out of LCQ?
It's Supermassive Blaze Online, man. I don't know. It's going to be a tough one.
The fucking play anti-flash, five people stuck together.
It's going to be a tough one.
Let's not underestimate Guild. I've made that mistake both
as
an analyst, a caster, and a team analyst of underestimating these guys. In particular, Yassine, you know I love you, brother, but fuck you, man. You're so annoying to watch play the game. Certainly to try and anti-stra. I remember this dude just shift walked out on B and shot one of my players in the back on split. And it made no sense. If you watch that back 100 times, makes no fucking sense why he did that. But he did it. It worked. They've had a lot of time as well. They've been refining their game. And like they've always been one of the most driven teams within EMEA. So seeing Guild now come in, tough as shit matchup against Supermassive Blaze to start with 100%. But I expect them to make a super deep run. SMB, obviously a top tier team. Liquid, now with some changes, I'd say they look a little bit weaker. I wouldn't say that's a team I expect to make it all the way through. I think that for me, it's between, as you said, SMB,
between Guild and between G2.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk about Heretics, because they have made some big moves, right? So they benched Patatek and Amilwar, who's one of their more recent acquisitions, and Jonta have been moved. I mean, Jonta was the coach, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And we're talking Jonta of FPX, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Previously.
Yep.
So this team, so a bunch of players getting benched here. If you read any of Arnal Vidal, who is the CEO of Heretics, that motherfucker is convinced that Carlos poached his players. He is convinced that there was some underhanded. Every time Halo of Thoughts ever tweets about Heretics, Arnal Vidal is in there being like, yeah, well, we're doing the best we can because we got a fucking player stolen today. What are we going to do? Italian.
He took the fucking
Italian.
Money, just, bro. Like, what? Yeah, what are you talking about? You got a big ass paycheck. You can't be fucking rubbing your tears away with cash, being like, "I was robbed. I was robbed." I tell you, like, no, you fucking sold them, made a shit ton of cash, and it was immediately off. Okay, listen, it's Carlos. So we're gonna imagine there was zero, like everything was done 100% by the books. This man had a plane fly saying "fuck Sentinels." I don't think he gives a shit about the proper channels. But the reality is a deal was struck, money was changed hands, shut the fuck up, don't cry about it. The thing is, when we looked at this Heretics roster, I think I said it on this show, I've said it on any time anybody asked me, I said, it's not a roster, it's a bunch of players, they've sold their players, they don't expect to win with this roster, they're not going, yo, this is the future of the Heretics. They're like, okay, we took some money, this is what we've got left over, let's see if we can make it work. And now they've realized, okay, we can do better. But I think they've also realized we don't have shit to do for a couple months now. So why the fuck are we paying these players some decent money when we could just not do that? And rather, why would we pay these players decent money to commit to this roster that we don't really want and on paper probably don't really believe in? That's nothing against the individual players, more so them as a whole doesn't quite make sense. And instead, let's save the money. Let's save that cash up. And when it comes time for the next leg of VCT or a decent level tournament, we'll string together a roster from the players that are free agents and build something we're actually proud of. And we'll have the money to even approach buyouts because we haven't paid some cunts to sit around for 3 months. Makes a lot of sense.
I mean, this team is a farming team. It's a farm team for teams with money. I mean, I empathize because it's hard to not be a farm team, right? The only way you become a farm team to prevent that, excuse me, is by getting money to pay your players enough that they can't just be poached. Look, they did well. They discovered some talent. They made money off them, presumably, and then they lost them. Yeah, that sucks. You know, teams with VC and investor rounds can afford to be the poachers from these farm teams.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard as an endemic esports org to grow into something more than a farm team. So I empathize. I understand. It is just fucking business. It's as simple as that. But then I hear there's one name, of course, that we haven't mentioned, who's artist, who took a step back for personal reasons. And we hear that FPX are actually trailing him and someone by the name of Fizzy. And this is obviously, this is in Polish and English, you can read that. But yeah, so David, I'm going to pronounce his last name, fuck it. They're trialing on FPX. So this is really interesting. I was really under the opinion that Artis was maybe in not in a great position to sort of leverage from big teams. But FPX, they want to be a quote unquote big team. They haven't fucked off and just focused on their Chinese roster. So, what do you make of this? What do you make of Artis getting a shot on that roster?
Let me tell you, one of the main problems that I would have with looking at artists to pick up on a team, it's not an issue that can't be overcome, but it's the fact that he is a, let's call it strong personality. Like, he's a loose cannon.
That's being nice, right?
Mm. Exactly. Yeah. He has the capacity to be an asshole. Let's put it that way. Right. Personally, great relationship with artists. Dude makes me crack up every time we have him on for an interview, which you'll notice hasn't been for a long time because of how much fun it is to have him on interviews. Sponsors don't love us, but we do.
He's a fucking scouser.
Exactly. Actually, we could have just summarized it like that. And I think one of the issues you'll have is you need strong leadership if you're going to have someone like him on the team, because I think he has the capacity
to derail himself, to derail others, in absence of good structure being there. So I personally, when I look at the fact that now he's going to be coming in under someone like Angel, I don't really have a problem with that. I think that good luck being a dick in front of that man. He's going to whip you into shape real quick. So any
he's
sort
dicked
of
and he rips him off, you know, he just,
yep,
he's like fucking whack a dick, big old fucking hammer on there. You know what I mean? Just waiting for one to present herself. Just fucking bam.
There it is. Boom. He is relentless. So I think that if Artis is going to succeed consistently at a top level, it's not a question of mechanics. We know he's got the mechanics. We know he's got the ability to adapt and think on the fly. Fuck it. He played in the top team who didn't even have an IGL for the vast majority of his stint on that roster. The dude is a sick player. The thing is, for me, if you put him on a team, as I said, with weak leadership, without good backing, it's going to fall apart pretty fucking quickly when things go bad. He's a personality that I think needs to be leashed in a little bit. And with someone like Angel to lead and guide there, I think he's going to come out of that team at a minimum as a way better person. Like, I think anybody would, to be clear. It's not like he needs some sort of, you know, awakening, but anybody that plays under Angel gains from it massively, aside from the financials. So I think he's got a really good chance if they do end up going with him. And for a team like FBX, who's searching for an identity, I think he brings a lot to the table in terms of fresh perspectives and certainly a willingness to voice his opinion on anything. I'm really curious to see how that one goes.
Mm, me too, actually, whether they can sort of, they can get on. I too, in my brief encounters with artists, at least as a third party, I found him to be funny, but he has the kind of sense of humor, I think, that can very easily stray into the inappropriate. And I think he's pretty unapologetic about it. So yeah, you know, like there is a real future in Valorant where players are in high exposure scenarios, and that is going to have to get nipped in the bud extremely quickly, if that's going to be the case, because Riot are Riot. Let's talk about another acquisition. This isn't obviously in EU, but this is in Southeast Asia. Now, the conspicuously absent Bren Esports from Berlin, of course, who many were hoping to see much of, especially with how good PaperX turned out to be, have been acquired by none other than Team Secret. This would not be the first time this organization has, you know, made foray into Southeast Asia. Mm. And now, hopefully, with their backing, Bren will be able to, I don't know, get to a LAN.
It's nice, isn't it? It's nice. The potential to actually go to the event you qualified for. I'm not going to say that they were cast or cursed by Vancilli. I wouldn't even go near that. But he did tell me they were absolutely making it out of groups. And as I love to say, they didn't even make it into groups. So, you know, again, not Vancilli's fault at all. But if somebody did want to go and send hate to him, I'm not there to stop you. That's not my job.
It's at Mitchman on Twitter if you guys want to send the DMs. I also give gun buddies.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's stop it right there. Too far now. It's going too far. Bren did right by their players. They did the best they could. The reality is they're not an organization that has the leverage or the backing to get them into a situation where they can say 100%, hey, next time that won't happen. Bren don't have the backing, the facilities to do that. Team Secret do. And I think that's a fantastic sign for the Bren players. It sucks for Bren, to be honest, because this is an organization that has supported most of these players, not just in Valorant, but in Counter-Strike as well, through the highs and the lows. Actually, just through the lows mostly. But there were a few bumps along the way that could be mistaken as a high. And now, finally, they get something done. Finally! They're going to reach up and touch the stars, and then they have to leave. They have to leave Bren behind, which sucks in a way for the organization. They've put a lot of work in the Southeast Asian scene, but it's certainly not being forgotten or overlooked. Great thing for the players. Now, I presume they're going to be moving country. Honestly, I don't think they're going to want to stick around the Philippines and end up getting locked out again, right? Because from what I understand, it was a government thing. Like, there was just nothing you could do.
I mean, listen, I mean, there are literal rebels that attack the cities in the Philippines and in many Southeast Asian countries. So, and I can imagine maybe a place with more stability might be more attractive,
a little better.
But people in Southeast Asia, it's just as a part of daily life. You know what I mean? They persevere through all that kind of stuff and are more cheery than most. So yeah, hopefully there's maybe a relocation aspect there as well, allow them to be more competitive in their own region first, I think, obviously, and then they can start thinking a bit more broadly about it. We got some clips. You can vote on them for clips of the week. We're going to show them here as well, just to sort of cap off our episode here. A few of them, and we're going to jump straight on in. So let's talk about this first clip, which is Anidro coming out here with a pretty nasty ace in Game Changers. Two shock dart kills, by the way.
Yeah. We don't have audio on these. I was going to say,
Some we do. Some we do.
Yeah.
This one we don't.
So this was step in the background.
I still need to learn how to beatbox so I can try to maybe add some little beats in there so I don't get DMCA'd. These days,
Vance,
I'm just...
I'll tell you what. I'll do the gun noises for you. It's okay. The voice lines. You will not kill my allies.
My God. But a nice ace.
One.
Yeah, nice ace. Little qualifier going on there into the VCTs, into the main stage, and it was actually quite clean.
Big slow field from Alexis there. Big fan of that one. All right, let's move on. This one actually has sound, so we're gonna cut to it. It's Envy's comms at Berlin. So listen up.
No, can we call. Nothing. Can I get a gun?
Fighting.
No! Yes!
What are you doing?
That's
three rounds, you're out!
Good fucking kills, Jake.
Jake, the thing I Jake get you Phantom, are right? Insane, baby.
Jake, fucking destroy them.
Okay.
This game is
Let's
over!
Let's go, baby!
It's over!
Go, Jake, go.
Yes! Nice! Jake, take me home!
Let's go!
Take me home, Jake!
What is wrong with you, Jake? Let's go.
No!
The Jake is yay for those that are wondering. Yeah.
So when we have the whole like X player gold kill strat, it seems as though it really worked out here for Envy with yay.
That was against Sentinels, I think, as well. There. So yeah. I mean, I love the shit talk, bro. The hype is real. Mitch, you can talk us through this next clip. This one might be familiar to you.
I made it, baby. Let's go. Yeah, man. I gotta say, playing Astra now is a new thing for me. I'm loving it so much. You put down those stars, you use your little pulls. I didn't even need to here though. I mean, it's just shooting people through
the wall.
You
don't do anything with your utility.
I love so dumb.
Explain this top left shot to me. I saw the blast back. Right?
Yeah, I thought he was in the corner, which was the first spam, and then I saw the blast back and realized, okay, dude's up above. I'll take him down. He thought he could escape the wall banks. This guy didn't know what he was playing at. Normally, if I'm getting word that they're pushing through hookah as well, you put in the gravity well and then spray it, and they are just fucked. It's so much fun.
This is mid-diamond, right? Mid-diamond matchmaking.
D2. Sadly, I didn't get my immortal back yet, but I'm putting in the hours now. We'll be back up.
Except with New World coming out now, so we won't see you anymore. He'll be back at gold.
No, dude,
one
I've
here
got. I can probably queue six ranked games before I get into a New World server. I started queue when we started the show. I'm number 99 now. Let's fucking
dude,
go.
Dude, I at 8 a.m. this hours. Morning. So it's been what? It's been 5 hours. I've gone from 6,500 to 1,600.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
I don't know about you guys. I think I'm going to play some Valorant after this with hopefully some boys.
We've been having some good games. You've been carrying me, Vance. I appreciate it. Yeah, definitely putting out the call for Smurfs in Silver to get me the fuck out of there. This shit is whack. It's fucking whack. Right, here's one more for you. This is, I mean, Mitch, your reaction to this. I'm ashamed. It's a shame we showed it to you in the first place because your reaction was priceless. Here was some insane jet play against TSM Academy. Roll the tape, baby. Vance, talk us through this.
Yeah, so this was actually Lynn here from Renegades, if I'm not mistaken. This is going into the Pittsburgh Knights September monthly, the Fall Frenzy, as they're calling it right now. A nice little 3v1 with Lynn, and I'm just going to let the clip explain itself pretty much here. So you could do the gun sounds here, Mitch, man. Oh my God, how nasty is that? Did they both have shorties for B-Dog and for Lynn at that point where they're just like trying to figure out what the hell to do with their guns after? But that was
fucking thing I've ever seen.
That was shenanigans.
That's fucking gross.
I mean, TSM still won the series, but it's nice to see that little clutch there from Lynn.
Chat, we have a poll. You can vote for your favorite clip. All right. I think we have a poll, right? Here it is. Type 1, 2, 3, or 4 in chat to vote for either Anidro, Ace, Envy's comms, Mitch Man's Odin fuckery, and that jet clutch. We'll give you guys a couple moments to discuss. Yeah. That was nothing.
Let's go, baby.
So there was actually, I get confused there because there's the jet has knife, but she also has a jet knife. The Valorant Go jet knife. She actually gets, I didn't realize, she actually gets a fucking knife kill, unironically.
A six
and then
kunai.
Pops knives and then gets a kill with the knife. Unreal.
Press three to let Mitch Mend win the poll and get a gun buddy if he wins.
All right, okay. Let's fucking relax.
Press three to get on my sheet.
Fucking relax, fans. All right, you're walking a thin fucking line right now, buddy. Okay. You don't know what it's been like these past few weeks. You know?
Oh, I've had a few. Somebody put my name in like the social medias too, and I got a couple of unread here in the message requests.
Oh, really? Man, yeah. You guys, that's super unlucky. It's actually quite funny, Vince, considering that like you gave me a gun, buddy, and now you pretend like you don't have any. That's kind of weird. It's so strange, man. Who would have thought? Like this guy's been in esports for 20 years now and is stingy on the gun buddies. Unfucking real.
Yeah, you know.
Man City with two L's, by the way, everybody.
Stop the count. Stop the count.
All right, there. Okay, Mitch Man's Odin clip is the winner. Let's run it back one more time and let's savor this victory for whatever. Well, yeah, there we go. So there is actually a timer on it. There you go. I'm sure we can. We'll run it back one more time. There you go. Look at this in all its glory. No utility required.
Beautiful.
Congrats, Mitch Man. Congrats.
Beat Envy making it to the finals, right? So, I mean, it's conclusive proof that EU's better than
Oh, me. My God. Oh, Chad, man. You see what the fuck you just did?
It's
fucking all go. Good.
It's all good. Jesus. All right, everybody. Next week, we're going to be talking about game changes because that's obviously kicking off, like the finals for NA is kicking off very soon. We're going to talk about EU game changes as well. We're getting very close to LCQ, which is it's going to be a lot of fun. I'll say that much to you. So stick around, everybody. We're back next week for more Valoranting. Don't miss it. Love you.